And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Good morning. Yes, it is very nice. You know, it's still dark here. It's going to start. You know, all of a sudden, you know what winter is in Phoenix? Let me tell you what winter is. The beginning of summer. I mean, you know, it's just, it's whenever we go, hey, it's cold. Yeah, summer's just around the corner. And that's just kind of how you look at it. But it looks like we're going to get a storm again today. So, dang it. All my plans of working on more Playhouse. Papa Bibby Playhouse. Well, Taj Mahal. We'll do some pictures and videos when I get done here, towards done and whatever. We have a friend, Leo, has a painting company, and he's going to come over and just, you know, all of a sudden it's white. You know, we'll do a priming thing. Instead of doing bare wood, I think I'm going to go ahead and paint it and do, because you got to have, like, purple. You have to, Papa, it's got to have purple. Well, maybe not a lot, but we'll definitely have some purple. So we're going to go ahead and today we're going to have on, where's my glasses? I'll rough it. We have Rodolfo Novak from CoinKite. Now, it's a Bitcoin wallet, and it's good that, you know, these guys, a lot of them, they're, you know, starting to get the grandma adjust buttons. You know, the security is starting to be default. You know, there's starting to be, a lot of features that I'm going, yeah, about freaking time. You know, it's my criticism is, because I've seen this before, it's why I'm such a butthead about it, is because I've seen this before. You know, whenever there's a new technical thing that comes out, a new operating system, a new application, a new software, a new, and, you know, Linux, you know, a lot of these guys, they'll go, man, this is the greatest, most wonderful thing ever, and you should learn how to use it. And I go, well, isn't there like an easy, no. No, we are the elite. You must pay us. You know, you can't have it unless you pay. You know, so it's just, it's an attitude. One, it gives them an elite status, a benefit, or they just don't understand the, you know, consumer aspects of it. And that was one thing about Apple and Jobs and all those kind of, man, it was make it secure, make it stable, make it work, make it go whir. All the time. Done. Where Microsoft was like, we were their beta, you know, on their way to complete and total surveillance with Windows 8, you know, a la the German government. They said, hey, man, this has got a big giant back door in it. You drive a pickup truck through with, you know, all the information in the back. I mean, yeah, and we're so shocked. So my thing is now is the Bitcoin wallets are starting to come out to where they're having a lot of the features that I was looking for. So we're going to be asking Rodolfo Novak about that. And I'm hoping that, you know, this is a trend. I mean, of course it has to be, you know, to compete in the market. Because a lot of these things, there are other wallets that have a lot of things, but you got to be a geek, you know, to be able to use them. And nothing is by default. Security by default? Oh my goodness, what a concept, you know? So we'll go ahead and check on that. We'll beat him up a little bit and see how well he does in the second hour. In the third hour, we have Angel Clark. She, you know, in her secret location in war-torn Acapulco, she's down there with Berwick, you know, doing what she just wanted to get away. So she went to Acapulco. But in Acapulco, there are riots right now. You know, they are just, man, the people are rising up against what? The drug war. All right. As I understand it, hopefully Angel will be able to help us out a little bit more. It was about a year and a half ago, I did a story that was called, I can't remember, No Mas Yegro, I think what it is, or anyway, it's No More Blood in Spanish. And it was a campaign done by mothers. And all of these children being just massacred and killed left and right, you know, in this drug war, you know, just random violence. It's just, no, they understood what it was. It's the drug war, excuse me. I think I'm fighting off the cold. You know what happened? You don't do get enough sun. You know, it's that vitamin D thing. So a friend of mine a couple of years ago said, you know, you just take these vitamin D tablets and everything, your immune system goes up. So I did a bunch of vitamin D, and I didn't got to the hard C zinc stuff yet. I did that, and I wake up this morning, I go, hey, I think I kicked it. Well, we'll see. It's old grandpa remedy stuff. You know, we got our plague formula with horseradish and garlic and whatever the heck. That, you know, works well. We have, there's so many things. It's just that, you know, you got to like work. You know, you got to do it and you got to put it on and you got to take it and you got, but they all work. I tell you the one thing that really kicks butt is silver and zinc. For the same reasons, I think, because they're a metal, you know, it's just a physical barrier. And silver, like, has this thing on microbes and so on. They just don't like it, you know. So I'm going, okay, you know, there's a lot. We keep finding that I just don't really get that sick anymore. I mean, every now and then I'll start to get a snow. Oh, time to do that. And even with the grandkids, you know, help with them. But I think a lot of it, sun is just vitamin D produced by the sun. It kicks a lot of stuff in your immune system. Anyway, so we'll keep track of my cold just for, you know, scientific research for y'all, you know, how the stuff does. Because, you know, once it comes, I mean, you know, it'll kick your butt. I've done, I'll just see how it goes. I'm too lazy. Bam, you're dagger. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, we're just not ignoring it anymore. But anyway, so on the drug war thing, there was a author that did a story on this, and I remember having, I think it was Pepe Escobar. You know, Donna's going to look it up. I was just thinking of it, you know, now when she's reading off to me who's going to be on today, an Angel, and I'm going, yeah, is that already today? Cool, because we get to talk about Acapulco and Mexico in general and the people rising up. So what does the president do? Of Mexico, as I understand it, you know, stories, you know, kind of gleaning over what he goes, well, obviously, it's corrupt local cops, and anything to do with that drug war thing, just all the money from the drug war. Now, if we didn't have those local cops, we wouldn't have this problem. So what are we going to do? We're going to get rid of all the local police, and they're going to be federales. We're going to have, like, their equivalent of Secret Service, FBI, whatever the heck it is, IRS, I don't know, you know, those from the federal government. And they'll be in charge. I know what happens now. Well, the thing is that guns are, man, heavily regulated, muy, muy illegal, okay? So even in that environment, the people rising up, taking care of entire villages, they said, you know what? The men here be men, and we take care of business. Don't worry about it. We know who the bad guy is. Oh, and they're gone. You know, they'll bring in some more bad guys, and then there'll be more bad guys, and then good guys and bad guys, and then it gets in what's the purpose of government, you know? I don't know. Take their cut, you know? So that's what's going on, I think, in Mexico. We're going to find out more, and I think it's time for us to do some, we've done some background on this before, had some people in the know, people that have written books. Donna's looking at it now in the break. I bet you I can find it. We'll go ahead and start and do that again. We'll find the people that are in charge. I remember what I know we did an article, I think, in the magazine on it. So we have some information there. So I'm going to go ahead and find out, you know, a lot of stuff. And we'll build it up maybe for this week, maybe next week. But, you know, very soon we'll get to the bottom of what's going on in Mexico. Because the main thing, it's the drug war. And they're still trying to hold on to the drug war. We're seeing stuff from the UN about drug war here in states legalizing marijuana here in America. A drug war. pay them those as best friend. They make some money at our expense. We'll be right back.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now, there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, I'm looking for the show that we did on the Mexican Drug War, because I... whoever the author of that did a really good job. And I remember us talking, this was inevitable what was coming. And I could just tell that it's just, ew. You know, when you have parents and mothers, you know, in the drug war, save my child. I mean, this, I don't know how much longer it can go. Now it's a, you know, soccer mom. And I mean, in Mexico, they're all soccer moms, you know. It is going to be a thing, and I see it. It's a moral thing. It's always comes down to, you know, just grandpa, you know, grandma, mom, dad. When it gets, you know, I break with thee, I break. And I think it's going to be on a larger scale. You know, this is, I've been having a lot of conversations with close friends and people that, you know, you're trying not be so tunnel vision, so myopic. I mean, as widespread as the radar screen is on Freedom's Phoenix, you still kind of, it's a theme. You know, it's that they, them, those won't leave us alone. And, you know, how do we get away, push back, do something else and bite me? And I don't want to, I don't want to go voter way free. I mean, that ain't going to happen. But, you know, it's some way that we can do. And that's why I'm always glad, you know, to have conversations with the guys like Rodolfo Novak on a Bitcoin wallet called CoinKite. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing the trend of this stuff getting better. So I want to you know, go down that road. And we're looking for solutions. There's a lot of other things, you know, decisions that we make personally. You know, just little stuff. I'm going, okay, so if we're going to do this, if we're going to have multiple places, if we're going to try and, you know, go out in the desert and start to, you know, kind of something there, or up on the rim, you know, up on the high country here, we'll have a little something there. If we're going to start to diversify, or so have more than one, you know, one is none, two is one kind of thing. You know, if we're going to do that, you know, what are some of the things that we need to do? Well, one of all this freaking electronics and equipment, you know, we have the ability to modulize it down into a suitcase. We have what's called a Comrex Access. It's when we do remotes and so on, and it's an expensive piece of equipment. But, you know, it doesn't give me all the goodies, you know. I mean, it has most of the goodies, but it's not goody-goody. I like all the screens and the goodies. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to start fashioning a sea container that will include a studio. But it's more than just a studio. It's a place to put all the studio. And we just put everything on racks that we have here. Some of the things that we got an old CRT monitor here for us to see, you know, what channel it's on, you know, channel 1, channel 2, channel 3, channel 4, you know, it's just, and where do you put all the switchers and so on? Well, I think we're going to try and create a sea container or a mobile. Do we do it on a trailer or do it in the RV? And I think a sea container, because I need something that's, you know, kind of, when it's there, it's freaking there. But you can't just put stuff out. We see that all the time. A lot of people, they have a cabin, or the more remote they are, the more it gets pilfered. I mean, you know, it. The more it gets plundered, the more it gets raided, the more it gets stolen, okay? So I'm just going, ah, man, do we got to do a freaking bunker with a big safe door? Yeah, probably, you know? So these kind of things that we got to take into consideration, you know, or the other alternative, well, you just fix everything. We just fix it. Well, I'll just get right on that. Because I am, you know, talking to friends, you know, they are really taking this stuff seriously. You know, a lot of people have the extra food to go at least a couple of months, you know, a few months. Some people think be 2 weeks or 2 months. You know, some people think it's 2 years, especially, you know, anybody you know is Mormon. It's always a 2 year thing. And so I'm going, okay, so we're, you know, kind of thinking that way. I'm more optimistic, though. I mean, it's because so many people are thinking that way. If we are prepared, you know, for the worst, you know, things go, I mean, you know, you're never prepared for the worst, could be an asteroid, but, you know, if you just kind of get your mind set to where, yep, I'm just going to take care of myself and defend against, because a lot of people aren't going to, you know, take care of. So then it's like, okay, do you go somewhere where it's more than a day's walk? You know, you want it's like, you know, how far will the zombies go? You know, I don't know. And it's just, that's one thing that I thought was interesting that Davy Barker from Bitcoin.Bombs did. He's an author and does a lot of stuff, and he has a zombie book series. And he explained to me one time, he said, you know, I like zombies in the freedom movement because it's always, instead of the one monster going after everybody, it's everybody going after the one individual. You know, it's like, it's... The whole plague, you know, of people that are coming after you get your stuff or, well, your brains, you know, whatever. So I'm going, wow, that is different. You know, all the other genre, all the other monsters, it's, you know, the vampire, Frankenstein, Godzilla, whatever. I mean, it's the one bad guy. No, in zombie, it's everybody. You know, any and everybody. It's the Matrix. if you're not unplugged. So I'm going, okay, I you know, it's one way, you know, to think about it. And you're seeing some pushback around the world, you know, country after country, after state, after province, after whatever wants to be independent of what they perceive to be the corruption of somebody telling them what to do. Then you have issues, and it was always issues. You know, slavery was what created the Republican Party. You know, this whole, you know, around this one concept, and one concept that has really just won't freaking go away. Guns. That is just one they just can't. Oh, gotta nip it. You know, nip it in the. And there is no. You can't. I mean, it's a complete. People that are apolitical, that just don't care, man, they get all motivated when it comes to the gun thing because they understand, yeah, blah, 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 blah. At least you're not going to make me yada, yada. You know, at least they can't make me yada, yada. At least they can't come out and yada. Yeah, they can. You know, especially when they take away your ability to resist. Well, there's some resisting going on. Before they started marching on, you know, whatever in Hong Kong, because they wouldn't give them more autonomy in Hong Kong, as taken over back by the Japanese from the British, God, in the last 20 years or so, it was in my lifetime. And all of a sudden, you know, it was a 100-year lease thing. Well, 100 years come up, you know, and they said, you know what? We ain't releasing. It's ours now. Oh, and we're China, so we'll kick your butt. So got turned back over to them. They go, oh, we'll just leave it alone. We'll leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it until it's not time to leave it alone. And the people there by the millions are like, no, we want to be left alone more. We'll see how that works out. Or have a voice, you know, as if they'll ever have a voice. So then I'm going, okay, then you have countries wanting to secede from what they perceive to be whatever their problem is. Then in Mexico, it's a little bit different. Now, where does this always happen? From the ashes rises the phoenix. Freedom's phoenix always comes from Detroit, Moscow, Havana. Okay, I mean, you know, it's wherever it's the worst is where you start to see the phoenix rising up. Well, it's happening in Mexico right not later, and you don't hear hardly crap about it. And you know, I don't even know because I don't pay attention to freaking lamestream media. Media so last century anyway. But it's not, you know, top of mind. It's not political issue. It's not, you know, being coming up. You're not hearing a lot about it. Why? Because it's the people rising up in the streets, soccer mom, against the drug war, which is what always had to happen. Well, it's happening. How are they going to deal with this politically? I don't know. I don't really care. It's just people know and they're acting.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to spend this time. You know, I'll, this young man, let me go ahead and just show you a little bit of this, listen to this video for just, we'll just do a minute of it, and you kind of get an idea of what's going on. Because this is the gentleman that I had back in, God, man, it's a few years ago. His name is John Gibler.
Thanks very much, Owen. Thanks to Moe's Books, and thanks to everybody for coming out tonight. I look forward to our discussion. In late March 2010, a photographer working for the Multimedios company in Monterrey, northern Mexico, got a call at 5:30 in the morning. His editor said that there had been a shootout. So he gets in his car, and he's driving out to the region of San Nicolás de los Garza, in the outskirts of Monterrey City. And his editor calls back to his cell phone and says, no, it's not a shootout, but it looks like a body's been dumped out in this field. Go ahead and go get the picture anyway. So Paco Cantú, yeah, keeps on driving, gets out to the scene before any other reporters.
Now, at this time, there had already been over 30,000 deaths due to the drug war, just the bystanders. You know, I mean, probably a lot of drug-involved people, too, but 30,000. Well, it's been at least that many since then.
Paco's able to get close and get to work. He approaches the body and starts taking photographs. After he's taken a few photographs, the body's wrapped up in a blanket. There are several theatrical styles of execution taking place in the context of the current drug war, which have their own names now in Spanish. This would be encobijado, which means emblanketed. There's also entepado, enlonado, encajuelado, all these terms referring to the theatrical style in which an execution is presented to the world. So this body, wrapped up in a blanket, bullet through the head, in a barren field in San Nicolás de los Garza. And Paco Cantú is taking photographs, and then he glances at his digital screen and recognizes something strange. He recognizes the color of the T-shirt. And he looks at it more closely on his digital camera, and he recognizes that it's this kind of brown shirt with a strange orange letter B on the chest. And he starts to freak out. He goes back to his car, opens up his laptop, checks out his photographs. The day before, Sunday, there had been a shootout on another region outside of Monterrey, and Paco Cantú had gone to cover the shootout. He got there after the events had taken place. The Navy, the Mexican Navy, had already cordoned off the area and had several people who had been wounded or apprehended in a branch of the municipal police office. And then at one point led them out. The Navy custody, all the soldiers with their, you know, flak jackets and bulletproof vests and their face covered with military-style face masks, their Kevlar helmets and assault rifles, led these people out of the room. Well, at that moment, Paco Cantú was there, and he was taking photographs. He took a photograph of a man wearing a brown shirt with an orange letter B on it. And at that moment, he was in Navy custody. He was completely uninjured. And he was being led by several masked, uniformed Navy commandos into a helicopter. 15 hours later, he was found dead, his body wrapped up in a blanket with a bullet through the head, about 3 miles away from the naval base. In the drug war, in the current logic, if you're dead, you're dirty. You're killed not only in your life, but also in your name and in your history. The body is presented to the world as a mass of death, without a name, without a personhood, without humanity. That is one of the first acts of stripping away the possibility of knowledge, as well as the humanity, as well as any ability to fight, understand, and also fight what's happening. In the logic of the drug war, you're dead, you're dirty. Felipe Calderón, president of Mexico since December 2005, told CNN in an interview, 90% of the executions that have taken place during his term correspond to the various criminal gangs fighting over territory. And under such pressure, due to the drug warring of the government, the police operations and the military operations against them, under such pressure that they are escalating their combat over control of trafficking routes and territory, and fighting each other, and this is the logic of all of the death, the bodies that we see daily, the execution headlines. Calderon didn't cite any kind of figure or study to justify that number, but that number corresponds rather insidiously to another number that is backed up with documentation. And that is that the Mexican federal government investigates less than 5% of the murders that have taken place since the drug war, which actually corresponds rather neatly to the general rate of guaranteed impunity in Mexico for the act of murder. But in the case of the drug war, since 2006, more than 41,000 people have been executed. 95% of those 41,000, those murders are guaranteed impunity by the very fact there's not even an investigation opened into the act of murder. So we see these two numbers coincide, unfortunately, rather neatly. The 90% that the president says with no supporting documentation corresponds to these drug war cartels battling each other, or drug cartels battling each other, and the 95% that corresponds to the fact of no investigation. So murder and impunity, these are the two central facts that set the coordinates for our trying to approach an understanding of what's happening. And first, what they tell you. They tell you that drugs are illegal, or the illegal drugs, those that are illegal because they are very harmful for your health, and they promote crime, they create criminals, right? And so the government is waging a war on drugs. That's how desperately and ardently they want to protect you against these drugs, these substances that are so dangerous. And this war, at its highest pitch, leads to unfortunate acts of violence that are inevitable as these criminals fight each other, but can be eventually overcome with the ultimate victory of the government in their war on drugs. That is a very clean story. It fits into a nice package, and it entirely corresponds to fiction. There's no basis in the reality of 40 years of a drug war, that story, to what we've seen. In 40 years, we've seen explosion of a marketplace. There are more drugs available on the market at lower prices now than at almost any time in history. And we have seen in the United States, particularly, how drug laws have reconfigured, in the argument of Michelle Alexander in her book, The New Jim Crow, the legalized segregation of the Jim Crow era into drug war policies that criminalize largely people of color class, largely African Americans, and has created in the last 20 years, really since the Reagan administration, the largest per capita incarcerated population in the world, the vast majority of which is, or disproportionately African Americans on drug charges. So that's the neat story. But the story they don't want people to say, I don't think, is that drugs are a major global industry. The United Nations estimates that between $350 and $500 billion a year are generated in cash in the global narcotics marketplace. It's a huge transnational industry. In fact, Forbes magazine has taken to including the man suspected to be Mexico's largest so-called capo or drug lord, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, in their list of billionaires. And in a rare moment of honesty of capitalism, the first year that they listed El Chapo in their list of billionaires, typically in the list they'll have the name, say, number one in the list that year, Carlos Slim, and then it'll say industry, like how this individual generated their fortune. Usually they don't say theft, but what they will say is, for example, Carlos Slim, industry, telecommunications. And in the case of El Chapo Guzman, it said Joaquin quotes El Chapo Guzman, industry, shipping. Which I thought was a very rare and brilliant moment of honesty.
We'll go ahead and finish this up when we come back. It's almost done. Because this was the gentleman that I had talked to, wrote a book called To Die in Mexico. This drug war thing, the innocents being killed and the rising up of the people is happening where it's the worst.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, from the lies. This gentleman, John Gibler, writer based in Mexico and California, author of To Die in Mexico, we interviewed him in May of 11. So that makes it years ago, okay? So this is, three and a half years ago. And I remember the interview. I really liked him. And what he had done, Dispatches from Inside the Drug War, Mexico Unconquered, Chronicles of Power and Revolt. You know, that was another book. He had one in Spanish. He's a correspondent for KPFA in San Francisco, or was, and is published in magazine in the United States and Mexico, and lists a whole bunch of magazines internationally he's been in. And I really enjoyed the conversation, and it came down to the drug war is an international business. And he goes, and you don't mess with the business. And they don't take you to court. They just kill you, you know. So, but do you kill everybody? I mean, getting to that point, you know, anybody that rises up, any kind of organized opposition, it has to be a mass movement. That's what's happening. We kind of talked about that in our interview. I remember, you know, what has to happen. Well, it looks like it's starting to happen. Let's go. It's only got a couple of minutes left. Let's go ahead and finish this up because, you know, I think it's, revealing what his conclusion.
Global industry. Illegality, I think, structures an interesting way perhaps to think about illegality as the principal feature structuring that global marketplace. And it does so in two principal ways, maybe three. Number one, illegality increases the value of the commodity, becomes a part of the commodity form. Because the risk is so high, it justifies these incredible price markups. And there's estimated somewhere around a 3,000% price markup between the coca leaf that is sold, you know, by the producer in the Andes to the cut cocaine that is finally sold to powder cocaine sold to an end user in the United States. But illegality also structures the marketplace in another way. If you think about the example of books, principal structuring features of the publishing industry is physical weight, bulk. One of the largest expenses of publishing houses is shipping, right? Like physically moving their product all around the country and around the world.
Oh, well, that sucks. The end of that. Well, you know, you get an idea, you know, of the young man, and I was really impressed with, you know, the danger that he was in. He put himself in. Fortunately, he kind of blends, I guess. But it's a tough issue, and I remember the uprising. I don't know if it started then. We were talking about one of the reasons that we had him. Excuse me, but it was. No more blood in Spanish. Can't remember what the term was, Allegro, something like that. But it was a rising up that was coming from moms. You know, is it, you know, enough mothers? I remember it here in the United States. It was called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Now, it went down the dark side and gave, you know, the government all kinds of powers in the name of alcohol and drunk drivers, we rule you, which is what's happening in Mexico. How do they turn this to their advantage? They're not going to end the drug war. That's the last thing you do. You want to stay alive and be a politician. What they do is they say, oh, yeah, corrupt cops, yeah. Well, it has nothing to do with the 3,000% markup and money and all the enormous amounts of profit that's out there. It had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with the corruption. It had nothing to do with, you know, you turn the other way and your kid goes to college. I mean, you know, it had nothing to do with that. You know, it was because they were local cops. They were corrupt local cops. We're going to put federal cops in. And what was the story that he just said? You know, it was the actual military and the Navy. You know, he's taking pictures of all these guys that are rounded up. 15 hours later, he's laying in the street with a bullet through his head. He was taken off by Navy command. He's like, what up with that? Oh, I bet there was a big, giant investigation about that one. Not. Does it have to get that bad? Before, yeah, probably. You know, people are, it's distant. They don't care. It's you know, it's not my problem. Wasn't my kid. Wasn't my, you know, which is, you know, fine. You know, I you know, you don't have any obligation. But then when it hits home, okay. And what I find is that throughout history is when you got people off the couch, once they get up, once they stand up, once they start, once the inertia is broken, once the momentum is started, you know, a lot of times they don't sit down till they're done. You know, that's kind of what happened to Donna and I. You know, where it's like, really? Is it that really? It's going to get really? Our kids, we're going to raise them into a really? And by the time they're our age, really? Really? Oh, I guess we better get started. You know, so we did. And the thing I'm hoping that a lot of people take from that is that it's everybody's action. In a free market, even in the most repressive regime, you're reigned by anarchy. You get to do what you want. You know, they can't have it unless you're in a cell, and even then. You know, it's, how much are a pack of cigarettes worth in prison? I mean, you know, the free market always reigns. It just takes time where it finds its way. And then they try and dam it up, and they close their fists tighter, and more star systems leak out. So I've been working on my presentation that we're going to be doing on the 17th, 19th, I can't remember, in a couple of weeks, is going to be on space travel and exploration just in the past. It's just in my lifetime. You know, I'm born in 61, so, I mean, what was Sputnik right before that, you know? So this is just a look, and as I go back and look at stuff, I go, wow, man, we really done some cool stuff. It was a decade or more ago, we launched a probe to Pluto that's just now waking up. It's like going, hey, I'm there. Hey, oh, time to get up. Oh, there's Pluto. Let's see what we can find out. Excuse me. So I'm just like, I'm looking forward to doing this presentation, just see the advancement and, you know, how, oh, and filling out my Secret Santa our family does that. We, you know, my son-in-law got all anal about it and sent out postcards and kind of doing like the accounting firm, you know, of so-and-so and such, and we never see anything and we don't know, and kind of, you know, trying to make it fun. Everybody's like, I like the chaos. That was fun. I mean, heck, you know, by the time it got to Christmas, everybody knew what everybody got for everybody and everything, you know, or not, you know, and then that was kind of used as, you know, a way to, you know, kind of, you know, seed with false information and everything. So we have some fun. But anyway, so he gets all anal about it, and we got cards to fill out and so on that we're turning in. And on all mine, I mean, they don't listen to the show. So all I wanted was a deep fryer, because Donna has one for when we do wing and it broke. And she goes, yeah, put that on. Already did mine. You know, put it on for me and say it's for you and for me, because I'm good. I got what I want. So I'm going, okay, you know, we'll do that. But the five lines that they had, the other four things, flying house, flying car, flying, you know, submarine. I mean, you know, I put in, because I want the person that gets it has to go to YouTube and look up all these terms and see, and they go, what? Oh, that's really cool. Ooh, what else does Dad want, you know? So quantum reality, man, you just never know, this stuff comes around. So this has been, you know, an interesting Christmas for us. We're enjoying it. And I'm kind of got the feeling I really wanted to take off and not, you know, spend a lot of time on a bunch of other stuff and having other people that we want to, you know, make touch with a lot of our friends. We got to see some different friends in this last weekend. We're going to visit some more and do a lot of family stuff with the grandkids and everything. Because you ever get the feeling that you might not have it as easy next Christmas? It might not be the same. And the things, it's not how many presents they get and all that kind of stuff. It's the fun stuff that you do. You know, it's the cookie making and the bacon and the pierogies is like a big thing here, you know, and then the tamales and, you know, and all the, you know, the big giant super cookie day that'll last us until freaking Valentine's Day. So, you know, I'm just, and I started one to make my own caramel, you know, candy and so on. So I'm going to do that with the grandkids. You know, we're going to play. We're, you know, finishing up the playhouse. We keep, you know, because it's a thing, you know, I don't think it's ever going to be finished. But we just keep adding and doing, and it's kind of cool. So, you know, this kind of stuff is what I'm focusing on this year. And the reason is because I think there are big changes coming. And this is what has been got me motivated to talk to a lot of people that I respected their opinion over the years, you know. And we may start, you know, pushing for phone calls more. I mean, we have the capacity. And sometimes you call and Donna, you know, but I always try and keep it on the topic of the guest that I have then. I know a lot of times open phone, I want to talk about what, you know, and that's just not how we run the show. But I think, you know, we may do that starting in January. I really push the phone calls more. And it's because I'm wanting to get your, and it's kind of a myopic, you know, view of, you know, people that listen to the show and the site and everything, but everybody has opinions. And they send me emails all the time, a lot of times during the show that I don't see a lot of times till I go over there, but at the end of the show. And I'll, And I'm really concerned that you're also concerned. I mean, that worry means you should be doing something, getting ready. I'll tell you the biggest thing. I'm solidifying my relationships with my family and my friends. You know, just finding out where they're at and knowing that we're here. So I'm just, and that's what I'm looking at. It's going to be, we're going to need each other. Won't you be my neighbor? Start being nicer to neighbors and everything. Just try and create insulation of against the bad.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. Silver is trading at $16.33 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,200 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $384. Antiwar.com reports on Sunday, Kabul Police Chief General Zahir Zahir announced his resignation from the position, a move that came after 3 weeks of high-profile attacks against the Afghan capital city. However, he's back at his post after it was revealed that the Afghan government ultimately rejected his resignation despite reports they'd already accepted it. Zahir's spokesman said he was asked to stay on to avoid disruption of security affairs, a surprising move since the security situation is getting worse and worse, and Afghan President Ashraf Ghani has been cleaning house in other posts. The situation in Kabul has gotten so much worse that a lot of aid agencies announced that they are fleeing the country, at least temporarily, to avoid putting their workers at any more risk than they already are. For over 35 years, Robertson Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Robertson Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co. USA Today reports the NFL will not grant a request from the St. Louis Police Officers Association to discipline St. Louis Rams players who did the hands-up, don't-shoot pose used by protesters in Ferguson, Missouri during a pregame introduction on Sunday. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said, "We respect and understand the concerns of all individuals who have expressed views on this tragic situation." The Police Officers Association issued a letter late Sunday condemning the players' actions as tasteless, offensive, and inflammatory, given a grand jury's decision not to indict Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson in the fatal shooting of Michael Brown. Five St. Louis Rams players raised their hands as they walked out of the tunnel onto the field at the Edward Jones Dome before Sunday's game against the Oakland Raiders. Wide receiver Stedman Bailey said he and his teammates decided to make the gesture shortly before the game and intended it to be something positive. Bailey told reporters after the game, "Violence should stop. There's a lot of violence going on here in St. Louis. We definitely hear about it all, and we just want it to stop." Tight end Jared Cook said he didn't consider his teammates' actions a distraction, and wide receiver Kenny Britt took issue with the notion that Rams players were choosing sides in a heated community issue.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 no fear, no fear, no fear. I tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of losing my freaking Bitcoin. That was a big thing, you know, for a long time. Is you say, hey, these Bitcoin, that's awesome. Bitcoin, that's cool. I got an app that I can, hey, I can collect it. I see it. It's in like a thing. You know, it's on my laptop. It's on my desktop. Oh, it's on my phone. I can actually hear. That's cool. You know, I can receive. I can send. I go, wow. And they're gone now. Oh, we got to have that security thing too. Oh, we had to learn about that. Then we're going, hey, man, I can buy whatever, and you're arrested, so we got to learn, you know, worry about, you know, anonymity, which was kind of the promise to begin with, and it didn't really work out as much as they said that would, but it's getting better. Talk to Andreas Antonopoulos. He's like, hey, man, security's going to have to come at the wallet level. It's not, the blockchain is not, it's default kind of not that way. So, you know, you need to, you know, at the wallet levels, okay. So we start talking to guys and it gets, you know, it's very hard, you know, to crack our, we're so good and use ours and everything, but, oh, well, hey, man, if you're too stupid, you know, you don't get to use Bitcoin. Grandma just can suck it. You know, you want to be anonymous, you want to be secure, you want to be, well, you got to learn stroke dash adjust button that has 47 keystrokes. Okay, well, I'll wait. And I've used other wallets, so I'll wait. And then they start coming, and they're flooding in, and they all have their own flavor. Well, you know, pointed out to me, Rodolfo Novak, he's a CEO and founder of CoinKite, the leading Bitcoin wallet with multi-signature, bank-grade security, developer's API, and hardcore privacy. So I can tell you right now, you know, it's coming with multi-sig. A lot of these guys, even the ones that I like, you know, I'm going, wow, this is kind of, they don't have multi-signature yet. This is the next big wave. Everybody better have these features keep coming on. CoinKite is a lean Bitcoin wallet with multi-signature bank-grade security. Okay, I want to find out what bank-grade security is. Developer API, which I know stands for something I can't remember. But anyway, you know, it's here's the ability to interface whatever app or edition you want to kind of take our base software and do something there. There's how you do it. You know, peace out. So, you know, it's that. So they're looking for involvement. Now, we'll go ahead and talk to Rodolfo. And Rodolfo, I just got to ask you, do you understand, you know, my concern and where my focus is? I'm just, you know, for us, everybody's screaming in the Bitcoin community about wide adoption. And they act as if that wide adoption is coming from Uncle Sam going, you know, we like you. You're doing it right. And here, you're allowed. And this is good. And you're good. We didn't arrest these guys. So I guess it must be, you know, good to use. And I'm going, wow, that's my criteria.
Yeah. Oh, hello, everybody. So we took a slightly different approach with CoinKite since the early days.
I got some background noise. Are you?
Yeah. So we actually started way back, almost a couple of years ago, in Bitcoin world. This is a long time, and we started developing payment terminals. Payment points of sale for merchants, right? Because we figured out it was too hard for merchants to accept Bitcoin.
Hey, Rodolfo?
Yeah?
I got some background noise really bad. Are you somewhere there's a lot of noise in the back? Or
it might be Skype.
Okay, well, go ahead and finish your thought, and then we may reconnect in the next segment. Go ahead. Sure. You did devices that gave me, what, like ATMs or merchants being
like,
able to...
Do you know like those Visa payment terminals?
Right.
When you go to a restaurant, you stick a debit card.
Right.
And you pay with that.
Uh-huh.
So we made those for Bitcoin. And we also developed Bitcoin debit cards, right? So that, you know, my mother could use it.
Yeah.
But then we figured out that the wallets where the merchants were keeping the money and the users were keeping the money were not up to spec. Either they were not easy enough or not secure enough, in our view, right? So we went and we developed CoinKite. And CoinKite is based on the same sort of like technology that banks use to keep money secure. It's a hardware server that transacts Bitcoin, right? This is not people running around the office with USB sticks in cold storage, nothing like that. We wanted to remove the humans from the equation on the security, right? Because people make mistakes. And so we developed the only Bitcoin hardware security module, right? And a lot of other exchanges actually use our system on the background to keep their funds secure.
Okay. Yeah, the sound just got better. Okay. Now, when you're talking a server that keeps this transaction, does secure and everything, am I maintaining my passwords, or is it something right. that you guys got? I mean, start getting
We have a couple options, right? We have hot wallet, right? So in the hot wallet, CoinKite could transfer your funds for you, right? So of course it requires your password, your two-factor authentication, and all that good stuff. But in order for you to create automation, so for example, you could auto-forward part of your receiving income to your savings or something like that. So on that solution, CoinKite has access to the funds, right? On the other solution, which is the multi-signature, CoinKite has absolutely no way of transacting your funds, right? So we even go a step above all the other wallet providers, is that we allow you to upload your own private key for each of the keys on this multi-signature address. So that you don't have to trust us whatsoever. And we think that that's the model of the future. Right?
Okay, well, you lost me. Let's go ahead and take this piece at a time. What you're saying is that you have for automated payments. So you're talking about if I want to use Bitcoin for my gym membership or to pay my AVG security bill or something, that I can use Bitcoin and set up automatic payments through your system. That's one feature that banks, I can use, or PayPal or something like that. So you've added that feature. Is that what you're saying?
It's not quite like that. It's more in terms of, do you know, for example, when you receive your salary, you could set up so that part of that goes to your savings.
Okay, now when the receiving the salary, if I have, do you interface with the banks in such a way that as I get the automatic deposit?
There'll be a Bitcoin payment coming in, right? So, for example, I and many people in this industry receive 100% of their salaries in Bitcoin, right? I've been doing this for a year and a half now, where I want to save some of my salary in put into my Bitcoin savings account kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I want to do that automatically, so... I use this feature to send a percentage of it to another account.
So anytime there's any income coming in, it splits it into whatever you want to put it in.
That's right.
Okay. So I have the interface on, and this is done on the desktop level or on the mobile level?
On the server level, right? So you log in into CoinKite.com.
Okay, using my mobile.
Yeah, either your phone or the browser.
See, the reason I asked this is because, like Armory and a lot of other features, as I've been doing this over the years, they didn't even have a phone application.
That's correct.
You know, when I ask these questions, it's, I got these things in mind. When we come back, we'll get into details. I'll go ahead and walk it through because I need to know on specific things like that. You know, because the question is immediately when I start having these options, I'm going, okay, well, can it interface? From my PayPal does. You know, PayPal is like not only, even if I'm short on PayPal, it'll deduct from my checking account that paid. Is it that link? Or is I'm receiving payments? It's talking about first I got to make the deposit in Bitcoin. Then it automatically parses it out in the different accounts. Okay, some are multi-sig, some are open. They got password. We're going to find out.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid at
Okay, so that's probably going to be better for me is as you go to each one of these features, go ahead and drill down on each one of them and what you're
Sounds
talking
good.
About.
That's a great idea.
You know, so let's go ahead and do that. The main thing when you're at what point are you in the development? You're pressing for a developer.
We've been live for 2 years now. We are, I think, the fourth or third largest wallet.
Well, I mean, the reason I bring that up is that you're emphasizing developer APIs. You're going, look, here it is, you guys, and how much is being done on there? What's the incentive for them to do it? Why are they doing it? What are the things that are being done? What's the overall goal? You know, what market are you going after? Is it just U.S.? Is it international? Are you excluding U.S.? Like Coinapult, going, hey, screw you guys, we're done. We don't want to play this game. How much of the game are you playing? I mean, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and go, when we come back in about 3 minutes, we'll go ahead and start going through. I'll just start asking a bunch of questions, and we'll go through it, and then you can...
Sure.
Do you have a video that I'm looking
here for a video that we can put in on this or explanation. Do you have something like that?
No, we don't offer any video. The website is kind of full of graphics.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of graphics up here that she's doing for the video that we're rotating through. So, all right. So we'll get to you in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Sure.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done?
Wish you had it back. You're going to go, man, it's worth a gazillion dollars now, and all I got was an iPhone. You know what, we're going to go through all the details on this, but that's one thing I want to make sure we emphasize, is that we're going to be pushing this year, we already started Black Market Friday. You know, and all the artwork and everything is built. We've talked to some of the guys. We're getting ready and kind of soft launching. And after the holidays, we'll start pressing and putting a whole bunch more products and stores and such and vendors on the Freedom's Phoenix Marketplace. But it's not just that. That's just as an example. Because what we want to accomplish is by Black Friday 2015, it's a year-long campaign now, for people to use alternative currencies. Of course, Bitcoin will be in there. Silver, gold, you know, barter, help, you know, trade, something. You know, this is, we're going, and try and, you know, purchase stuff from, you know, local people that make things, kind of, you know, just it's keep, you don't got to be buying all kind of the latest whiz bang, unless they get, you know, holographic, you know, what do you call them? Opti, whatever the heck, 3D, I get the something, Oculus Rift kind of stuff. I'm like, ooh, man, they might get me to buy another gaming system. I haven't since Xbox 360 first came out. You know, so now I'm like, I'm holding up, save my Bitcoin, and I'm going to, free market, black market, Black Market Friday. So we're going to be working on that in 2015. We've already talked to a lot of different vendors and such, and you know, even Patrick Byrne Overstock. We had him on. He's like, "Yep, we're going to, they should stop here first." So we'll work on this. But Bitcoin needs to be easy to use, and that's one thing that we've seen from CoinKite is that they've interfaced with the actual ATM and with the merchant side of it. They're going, "Look, wide adoption." Well, I'll tell you what, that ain't going to happen until you get, you know, retailers and people that can actually use it. They're brick and mortar kind of places. There's a lot of online, you know, low-hanging fruit. But when you go into, you know, businesses, you know, and restaurants, so on, I'm very familiar with these terminals and devices. And if Bitcoin could be used on a card, or somebody comes out and just swipe and done like a debit card and make that happen, that would be a lot easier for me to come in and do it. So let's go ahead and talk from that standpoint. I'm seeing machines here. Help me out, Rodolfo. Was that really your focus? It was starting to from the merchant side?
So yes, I mean, we started from that, and we understood that we needed to sort of like provide the whole banana, right? Because just there wasn't enough good integration out there, and there wasn't a secure and easy enough wallet for people to use. So with these machines, the merchant can just put it on the counter. He doesn't need to trust his staff, which is super important, right? And he can just type in the amount in dollars or in Bitcoin, and then the customer can just stick the CoinKite card there, or he can print an invoice with a QR code with the terminal.
Okay, now we're looking at this device, buy, sell, accept. I mean, you know, CoinKite, and it just prints out in thermal paper a QR code. They just scan with their phone, boom, done. And there's a receipt, right?
There you go.
Okay, now, how long has that device been available?
Ooh, it's been available since, I believe, January.
Okay, so what kind of adoption have you got from that? I mean, it's...
We are in about 60 countries. It's growing every day. The amazing thing about Bitcoin is that because the merchants are not tied to us and our customers are not tied to us. It's an open platform. The adoption is sort of like happening from all kinds of sides, right? So, for example, in Netherlands, we have a whole bunch of restaurants who like our terminals, and customers are using some local wallet. In Australia, we have people exchanging Bitcoin with our terminals. We have even a dentist office in Australia who accept Bitcoin with the terminal. In Vancouver, we have Bitbulls. They buy and sell gold and silver with Bitcoin and using the terminal.
So you're getting a worldwide view of this. Now, I'm looking at one device here. It looks like it's an ATM. Is that you guys?
So, yes. So the terminal it enables the merchant to turn it into an ATM mode where the machine has functions for you to buy and sell Bitcoin with over-the-counter a fiat exchange, right? So, for example, if he turns that on, that feature on, you know, of course he needs to do the due diligence to know if he can do that in his city or country, right? And the nice thing is there is enough functionality there for him to just type in the amount of dollars or yen he wants to buy and sell, and the terminal does all the hard stuff and then prints a paper wallet or deposit it into the customer's phone.
Okay, now as a merchant that would be using your device, I could be selling Bitcoin and set whatever percentage I want a profit.
That's correct.
Okay.
You choose the markup yourself, and you can even choose which exchange reference do you want to use. Do you want to use Bitstamp? Do you want to use Coinbase? Do you want to use BitPay? You choose your rate.
You know, the thing is that I'm looking at this and I'm going, that's just too simple, too cool, too easy, too obviously has to be illegal. So I'm just going, the man here, what countries are you not worried about? Is America, you're going, yeah, that's, you know.
Actually, we sell everywhere, surprisingly enough. Because the key distinction between CoinKite and most of the other players is that we don't touch fiat, right? So CoinKite does not touch government money. No dollars, no Canadian dollars. We want to be a cryptocurrency-only system, right?
Well, so I mean, how do I buy Bitcoin then using your system?
Well, if the merchant has a Visa machine or has a cash register, it's up to the merchant to do the fiat transaction. Very similar to Western Union. So if you have a Western Union terminal, very often the merchant is going to handle the fiat, the money, right?
Well, see, I see where you'd be insulated, but as the merchant, you know, they, you know, come up and explain it to them. I get a chain of whatever the heck. I mean, that's what happened with BitInstant. I mean, we did a live transaction. We did that day. I go to Bank of America through the wire transfer at BitInstant. I got it on. We go to a coin shop in Scottsdale, and I bought silver with it. Loop closed, done. And they go, yep, that's exactly why we're going after you. So I'm going, you know, for a chain to do this or a payment system to come online with this, I think this is, you know, probably in other countries, it's not, they don't even know what the heck you're talking about. But here in the United States, it's some guys on their machines have the setting to where they can only do $3,000 or $1,000 or whatever Bitcoin a day.
Yes, you can set all those limits.
Okay.
And it really depends on the state, right? In the U.S., it's very fragmented.
Does that give you protection, though? Have you had any problems? Is anyone?
No. Our merchants have not had any issues so far. Because I think they do realize they have to do a little bit of due diligence to know if their state allows them to
do it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They keep changing it all the time. Anyway, you know, when we come back, we'll find out how much, because I am interested in the merchant side of this and having the device to be able to do all the things that you're talking about. We'll find out how much it is for a merchant. Maybe we can get you somebody to help you. You know, somebody else, you know, let me do it. If I had the restaurant, I'd do it. You know, we don't have that anymore, but I know some other businesses that might want to play. We'll talk about it.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Real.
Yeah, that's one that thing is that if we find a merchant here that gives enough footprint here to help promote this, I mean, what's the cost of this to do it?
Okay, so we don't rent the machines, right? So a machine costs just shy of $700.
Okay, well, it's not $1 billion, so I mean...
Exactly. But the big difference is that, like, we don't take a cut, right? And the biggest challenge right now is that the business model is very different, right? So Visa takes a cut left, right, and center so that their terminals are often free or like $10 a month, right? For us, it's totally different. We give you the, so you buy the machine from us, and then we don't take a cut anymore. We even pay for the GSM on the machine.
You even pay for the what?
The GSM. So the cell phone, the machines have cell phone service.
Really? Worldwide. So where's your profit? Why would you do that?
We sell the machine. And if they want, so we make some money.
Well, is it 10 years free service or, you know, one year or?
So you have to buy the hardware from us. Of course, we make a little bit of profit there. Yep. And then what we do is, if you want other features or more volume, right, then you pay us either $10 a month or $30 a month, and it goes from there.
Okay, so you are, there's a history of you and your company was in merchant services or no?
No. We do have experience building hardware. And we used to make we made apps for banks. We've been in this space for a little while.
So you understood this was a need that was
exactly
yet to be filled.
And so
your financial model is selling hardware.
Yes.
So why
premium services?
Well, why would you? I understand. So why would you see that you had such an opening to invest that? Because I imagine somebody put up some money for this. I mean,
it's all personal. So we wanted to be an independent company so we could offer proper privacy. We've said no to VCs for a long time now. And the thing is, VCs, especially in Silicon Valley, are very sort of they stay away from hardware things because one, all this developers, these young developers are not very familiar with hardware development, and two, there is inventory risk.
Yeah. So how many machines did you have to do in your first main batch?
We actually have a very good relationship with our factory in China. So we can do any quantity from small to large.
Well, right? You didn't have to. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between a turn. You had to find one that did whatever, and you can load your software. I mean, it wasn't that big a deal.
Somewhat. We needed a few extra things, like, for example, the QR scanner.
Right.
Which is not very common in those machines.
Okay, so this is, you know, you're on the machine side for the merchant and the physical brick and mortar. That's where your focus is.
Our focus is just being a platform, right? So our revenue is basically split three ways, right? So one is hardware for merchants. The other one is consumer wallets, right? Because we do charge for premium services. And the other one is developers. So we actually provide
development for other people?
Yeah, so a lot of exchanges use us as their back end so that they don't go into a Mongox problem, right? We actually have a very secure and very fast system. So,
all right, here we go. We're going to talk about
competitors are actually on the waiting list to buy
LRN.FM.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Santana can do anything. Okay, what we want to do is this new service that we've been introduced to, CoinKite. The focus is merchants. I mean, there's a few revenue streams and justifications and how they're going to do it, you know. But it's, you know, selling the merchandise. I mean, the actual terminal for businesses. I've probably gone through, you know, half a dozen of these in my businesses, and they always come up, yeah, guy, dude, and this is has the feature and pushes button and kind of, and hopefully they've gotten easier. And with Bitcoin, you can adapt a lot of the stuff, but you need some extra things, you know, QR code reading, printing out, doing, you know, splitting, doing kind of some features. So it's not like reinventing, you know, every wheel. But the thing is that this
comes from a company and individuals that in the space of dealing with merchants, you know, understood this to be a chink in the armor of Bitcoin. We need to have some kind of easy interface for the merchant, for the retailer to do this. But there are other services that are involved also. So go ahead, you know, Rodolfo, go ahead and help us out with, you know, exactly what the revenue incentives that you have. You didn't take any venture capital. Everybody wanted to do, I mean, are you worried about compliance with demand of different whatever? Or where is your focus? What's your main sources of revenue in this effort?
Right. So CoinKai takes sort of like a platform approach, right? We offer the hardware for merchants. We offer high depositors, high quality wallets, right? And we have developers who use our platform to keep their applications or their exchanges secure, right? Because we had to build all this infrastructure for the terminals, they can be used by anybody. So, for example, purse.io, right? It's a website that lets you buy and sell Amazon things with Bitcoin. They use our service, right? Or BitMEX, it's another derivatives Bitcoin exchange. They use our API to handle the Bitcoin for them. Right, so we handle the Bitcoin for a lot of different businesses, from the brick and mortars to the web companies.
Okay, so explain to me handling it. I mean, that is a service, I would imagine.
That's,
you know,
right.
For someone that doesn't want anybody handling my money, you know, what, you know, features do you have that I'd want you to handle it?
Right. So there's two ways you can do that, right? One is with the website. So it's just, imagine your CFO or your manager logs in into CoinKite and all your accounts are there. And, you know, you can set up in a way that you need more than two people to sign for a transaction to go out. Or you can also use a computer to computer, right? So an exchange has, you know, thousands of customers and they're handling a lot of funds. So what they do is the funds actually never hit the exchange's coffers. They come straight to CoinKite, and we're sort of like the vault for a lot of these web companies. Their Bitcoins stay in our system in multi-signature addresses so that they don't have to trust us, but they don't also have to trust their own servers.
Okay, so you provide the storage for this, but they have all the multi-sig encrypted passwords that are combined to be able to access them.
That's right.
Now, one of the features is, do you have people that can access the account and the information, like their accountant or whatever, but has no power to spend it?
No. So what happens is, because Bitcoin is public, right? Bitcoin is a public ledger. You can actually export all your transactions. CoinKite is kind of like a full reserve gold system, right? So your coins are there with your name on it, or in the multi-signature, they are in your own address. So you can actually just pull the list of all the transactions from the public. We just make that easy.
Okay, so you have the capacity to for your account that you can see where all your transactions are.
That's right. So your accountants, your controllers can just kind of log in, or you can actually export and just give it to them. I mean, we have to do that every year, right? We export the list and we give it to our accountant.
Okay, so I'm going to CoinKite and I'm like, you know, I need a full service. I want to get in this Bitcoin thing and I'm a retailer. Okay, hook me up. So you're walking into the restaurant. You come in there. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. You got an hour and a half before the dinner rush starts. You're sitting down with the manager, the owner or whatever, and you say, okay, we're going to hook you up. You sit in the back room. I'm sure it goes almost exactly like this. And you say, here, let me explain it. They heard a little bit about Bitcoin. Their employees and son told them you better and whatever. Okay, I'll go talk to CoinKite. CoinKite comes in, they do the presentation. Give me a presentation to a merchant that you're giving them.
So we actually sell online and mostly other resellers. So the way it works is that in each country, people come, they buy a few CoinKite units, and then they go themselves sell to merchants, right?
Why, though? I mean, are they getting a cut on the sale of the thing, or are they getting some kind of percentage in the transaction?
Both. So okay. We pay a referral fee right? In both percentage of whatever we make off that merchant's forever, basically, and we also pay a percentage of the hardware sale. So we're trying to help people in other countries spread the word of Bitcoin and make a little bit of money doing so.
Well, I mean, the features, this is how I'm walking. I give you an example. As you go into a restaurant, God forbid, a chain of restaurants or something, you go into a restaurant and you say, I got this solution, or somebody does that. They go, oh, cool. Well, then they has their own account and wallet, and then you start having accounting, doing it's like QuickBooks for, you know, Bitcoin kind of device. Then you have the employees there. People start using it. They start using it. It starts, you know, I can see that it'll just grow from this, but I'm wondering, grow from what? You know, when I get it as a merchant, I come in, you're just, you know, you're manufacturing the hardware, but there has to be, in addition to the revenue that you make from the sale of that, which could be gazillions someday, I'm sure, you know, when from the manufacture of that, so, where else?
So what happens is that we have a lot of resellers in sort of BRIC countries, for example, in India, who come and buy literally, you know, a couple hundred terminals, and we white label them, right? So then they use their own brand in their country, in their language, right? And for those solutions, of course, we charge an enterprise fee, right? That's substantially more, and it comes with more services, right? So that they can manage, you know, 100, 200 terminals themselves.
So who is the Bitcoin guy? And as you guys started this, you had some experience in doing this kind of brick and mortar merchant terminal thing. Somebody was the Bitcoin guy. Who was that?
So Peter, my business partner, he bumped into the Bitcoin white paper. I think it was late 2011, and he was like baffled by it. And he got me into it. We actually started developing a blockchain analyzer tool, and we had some fun with that. But then we sort of like, okay, great, this is fantastic technology. How can we make this easy for people to actually use? And that's kind of how CoinKite started.
So you've been selling the actual first products that you've had the hardware for merchants. So how long have you had those in for sale?
I believe we launched in January, the terminals. The wallet started the year prior.
So okay, so what kind of success are you having with this? People are like, yeah, okay, this works. It's you know, an essential part of brick and mortar or what?
Yeah, so in about 60 countries, we have an incredible amount of wallet users. We have a lot of people using payment pages online. We have about 1,000 developers using our API to build their own applications, and it kind of goes from there. It's really growing by leaps and bounds. The amazing thing is, because we're not VC funded, we decided to be independent. We can actually offer privacy.
Okay, when we come back, I'm very interested in this privacy thing too. So we're going to see what kind of privacy offer in what way, you know, because we all need to understand it from the grandpa perspective. Hello, I'm Grandpa. We'll be right back. Rodolfo Novak from CoinKite.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupation?
Okay, the privacy part. Give me a Evelyn Wood version, shorthand version on that.
So what we do is because we're not a money service business and we chose to be that way, we don't have to actually do KYC or AML. Okay, so we don't need your name. And that's huge, right? Because every other quality Bitcoin solution requires you to register because they handle fiat.
Okay, so I'm wondering what liability there is for the merchant. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, they're probably not now and nobody having whatever sooner or later. I mean, you know, they're
going to. Yeah, I mean, it really depends, right? I mean, surprisingly enough, if they are not buying and selling Bitcoin, they should be fine, right? In most, even in the US, even in the worst states, there shouldn't be any issues if they're not buying and selling Bitcoin. If they're just selling their merchandise, right? It's just like accepting chickens.
Well, see, my thing is, this is what happens. They had in the early 90s when I was, you know, in the restaurant business, and then later I had, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had what they called corporate dollars. And it right. was just like barter between restraints that did advertisement, blah, 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 blah. So I'm, you know, getting a bunch of these, and I'd write them off as coupons. And then I'd give them to my employees or go to dinner at Olive Garden or something like that. And here comes the IRS. They go, wait. There's like value there. And you guys are writing them off as coupons, which is like a tax deduction. Not only are we not getting revenue, you're taking right. it away. Well, you can't have that, you know.
In Canada, it's already being solved, right? So over here, this is just a barter transaction. So you just have to calculate the cost, right? So the actual value of that transaction, and you charge sales tax on top of that.
Okay, so, not necessarily how much Bitcoin, but the cost of the transaction.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, so, see, yeah, I've been through this before, man. They don't like that when they decide they don't like it.
Well, the nice thing with Bitcoin is that they can like it or not, but people are going to do it.
No, this is my point. I'm wondering, people are going to do it. I'm going, what country, what state, what protection, what, you know, because this right. is where we get into the privacy part. You know, I want it to where they go, did what? I mean, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, yeah, well, we know, I see that machine. I go, yeah, it collects dust, as far as you know. Well, I care, you know. So this is, I'm interested in the privacy part here as we get into the wallets that are created by the merchants and then the information that you have on them. And when you say things.
Yeah, it will be fine to talk about that. I just don't want it to push it into some sort of like illegal way, because then I'm going to have to just keep on saying no.
No. I understand. You know, my thing is that the legal doesn't matter because you're not dealing with the money. You know, like
that's exactly.
You're like peace. You got the machine. Do what the hell you want. Not my problem. But the thing is that I'm looking at your interface with a business that would be doing that, and you're keeping accounts. So I'm going, all right, are you worried about anything? If you're not, so much the better. I don't give a crap. But the thing is that. When you start having services like what you're providing, this is where you're starting to overlap with credit card companies, yeah. with banking services, with accounting, all that. This is exactly what they, them, those were afraid of.
That's exactly it.
So I'm going, you know, you may say no all you want, but they're going to say, yes, we're here, you know, so I just.
Well, the thing is, you know, users can access us through Tor, so we don't even know where they are.
All right, no, I understand. Here we go. We'll talk about it.
You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Christmas. It's, you know, I have to, you know, I might have to wear, you know, jeans instead of shorts today. You know, it's getting down into the 60s. Oh my God, I think I'm going to die here in Phoenix. All right. What we're going to go ahead and do is I can see this is one of the things that we knew was coming. It was going to be you're going to have the services available to people that are actually interfacing in retail. You know, restaurant, as you live your life, as you go and buy your gasoline, as you go to the convenience store, as you go, they go, when will Bitcoin be widely, when will it be that signal that adoption? Is it Starbucks? Is it 7-Eleven? Is it, you know, what? You know, I don't know. But it, you know, you have to have the technology and the hardware and the ease of use and kind of transition into that with things that are familiar. CoinKite has this actual devices. Not only can you put them at retail outlets, but they can set what percentage they take, if they want to buy and sell Bitcoin or not, or they just use the merchant, how they deal with demand. Gives you all the capacity to check off boxes and fill in blanks on forms or whatever. So not CoinKite's problem, okay? Like, hey, we gave you all the options. Here's a device you want to sell, buy, sell, do different countries, whatever. Not our problem. We sell hardware. And I'm just wondering, okay, then you have the interface to where we do their wallet. You start to accumulate information and data, and I'm going, where's the line? So if you feel safe you know, Rodolfo, on selling the hardware, you know, I'm wondering, as you start to get into, you know, storing information, using their wallet stuff, at some point, is there an interface to where you start worrying and got to be compliant with demand?
Well, so, I mean, compliance is always up to the merchant to research with his, you know, legal counsel in his own jurisdiction, right? I would just want to make that clear. But what's interesting is that, I mean, privacy-wise, we are super, super adamant about that, right? So you can access CoinKai through Tor so that there is, we don't even know where you are, right? We don't even know who you are. And then there is also the fact that, like, even if you don't want to keep the funds on CoinKite, you can automatically forward them to some other wallet if you want, right? So that there's no funds on CoinKite coming from the terminal. Another thing, too, is the multi-signature, right? Even if we got a court order to release funds, we can't, right? We need your signature to release funds. What we're trying to do here is really, really embrace the Bitcoin way, right? It's build a system that has no single point of failure, right? Including for privacy, right? This all runs in a very distributed, decentralized way where you control how it works.
All right, very cool. I get these options, and you've had any kind of attempts by saying, hey, we want, and you got to give, and we go, hey, man, we can't, life sucks. I mean, have you had any anecdotes?
No, not this far, no.
Okay, well, so you can see that, you know, I know at least some of the questions that to ask. As a merchant myself, I'm going, okay, so the device that we were talking off air, you said it's, you know, under $1,000. I mean, you know, so
$700.
Yeah, so it's not $1 billion. I mean, you know, it's kind of, and a lot of times these credit card companies, okay, oh, it's free, it's free, it's free, and we get like, you know, 4% of everything you ever did.
Exactly.
Okay. So I'm going, that's a, you know, that you're doing some volume and that ekes up, that's a big giant bill. You know, that's a bunch of money. So all of a sudden now you have all these features and it's free. So I'm going, okay, so you made your money up front on the hardware. Then you provide some of the services. So I guess some of the services, you know, are premium services that you would charge for, right?
Exactly. And it's fairly reasonable, right? So, for example, we made it in a way that the pricing scheme is that if you are a small merchant, after you buy the hardware, you pay nothing. Okay, like you owe us nothing else, and the service is there. We even pay for the GSM on the hardware device.
Okay, so you gotta tell me GSM. I have no idea what GSM is.
So it's the cell phone connectivity for the machine. The machine works on Wi-Fi or cell phone. It comes with a SIM already, and it works out of the box. Right, we pay for that worldwide. Now, if you want premium services, if you want to hold, you know, an ungodly amount of money in a system, then yes, we start charging a little bit for it. But it's all sort of reasonable, right? I mean, the step up from free is, you know, $100 a year.
Okay, so you have a service that's going to give you the ability to provide a one-stop shop for getting into Bitcoin, but does it interface at all with the banking system? Is that option that it goes into your bank account kind of thing or pulls from it?
That's right. So we do have a solution for that. You can actually automate the funds to go from your account into an exchange. So, for example, you can send it to any Bitcoin address automatically. So you could give it your exchange. So let's say you use Bitstamp, right, for buying and selling Bitcoin. So what it could do is you could put the Bitstamp Bitcoin address there and then tell Bitstamp to auto-sell every new incoming transaction. Then If you are somebody who do want to send a percentage of the funds to be converted automatically to US dollars, you could. And you could do that to anything, even Coinbase. All you need to do is just put the wallet address.
So this is, I mean, I'm wondering how the merchants that are taking it, most of it out of the US or a lot of them in the US, where's your biggest market?
Right now, it's spread. It's really spread around the world, fascinatingly enough. We thought U.S. was going to be the sort of like the 70% kind of case of our market, and it's not. Because the rest of the world is picking up Bitcoin a lot faster, right? For example, in South Asia, we have a machine almost in every single island there now. We have in the island of Jersey, we have in the Netherlands, we have a lot of them in Brisbane in Australia. It's literally everywhere.
So how far are you in development of the actual hardware? I mean, it has a capacity that you can just upgrade it and you're good? You don't have to have some big, giant, major, you know, Roku 47?
Oh, no, this is in this production, right? I mean, there is a... We push free updates constantly, right? Just to add more features. But the machine is fully functional. It's been fully functional now for a year. There really is no sort of prototype bugs or anything like that.
Okay, so you guys are rocking and rolling and whatnot. Where's the, you know, has you had any major chains or is it individuals? Do you have like, you know, the chain of garment factory of whatever the heck is starting to take it?
Because we care so much about privacy, we don't really mention, you know, who our clients are, who our large purchases are.
Got it. Does the device also do credit cards? Is it interchangeable doing others or just Bitcoin?
Just Bitcoin. Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Blackcoin. We actually have a coin agnostic system, right? We can actually add more cryptocurrencies to the system. We believe in serving the cryptocurrency market, right? We don't want to add the burden of fiat compliance, what we call the legacy currency.
I'm hip. Yeah, by making it to where all on one machine, you kind of getting in the gray area.
That's right. And in all honesty, I mean, EMV, so Visa, MasterCard, and Amex, they don't want us to do that. Right?
Yeah, this is, you know, I can see that. You know, I'm interested in checking with you on a regular basis, if you guys don't mind. You know,
sure.
I don't know, maybe 3-6 months or when you got something you want to tell me. Because I can, you know, understand why this would be so popular around the world as, you know, all the reliance on the dollar is just going away, or hyperinflation is going to be hitting everywhere. And as this goes, you go, and we already have a solution that's, you know, been developed, embedded, and we're kind of, here we are, solution over here. And it can send the deposits to whatever Bitcoin wallet you want anyway. And then the people buying stuff for your store don't care. So I'm just going, okay, so this is, you know, just shows you how developed the Bitcoin market is. Everybody's saying, yeah, but what about, and where's my little card, make it easy, and I just do an account and, you know, debit card kind of, how this is how. Here it is. You know, I can tell you what's going to happen also. You're going to see with this type of technology and these abilities that there is going to be kind of a gift card of Bitcoin. You get a discount if you use Bitcoin. Why? Because it saves you money in the transaction as a merchant. You know, I tell you, you know, I look at how much I gave the credit card processing company of the whatever, God forbid it be American Express, and I go, holy crap. Now, how much of these sales would I lose by not having this? Well, that's how you justify using the convenience of credit cards. But when Bitcoin comes in and it's much less, oh, ho, ho. There you go. Okay, Donna will have give you the archive to address to everything, the MP3 file, the video,
sure,
all that for you to make use of. But I'd like to stay in touch because
I actually had an offer for you. I'd be happy to offer you guys a wallet, a complimented wallet, so that you guys can keep your funds secure and you can have a payment page and all that good stuff.
Well, I'd like to, you know, I've gone through several wallets. I started off with blockchain. I still have that. I got a Mycelium, and then I did the Airbits, and I'm going through it. And the big thing to me was, send me the stuff, and we can take a look at, you know, whatever. But I'm telling you, man, you're in a totally different category. It's not just the wallet itself. It's a merchant interface.
That's right.
Because the merchant interface is what I want to track on, because I think it is a much more telling bellwether of where it's interfacing with the actual economy is by people at a counter that have to be able to easily do the transaction.
I mean, anytime you want to talk off the air, I'm happy to give you some more details. about merchant adoption and some very cool statistics. It's just that I can't speak of those.
Yeah, probably. No, I'm a recording, so I don't, you know, we don't need to do it now. We'll do it another time. But let's go ahead and see what is. When would you have some kind of stats that you can do from what's due? I mean, you know, like after Christmas, after the first quarter. I mean, when's your next? You have a full year, January. So, you know, when would you think would be a good time to schedule a show?
I guess. I mean, we could chat again. January is always slow for all the businesses because they're all sort of like still handling the Christmas hangover, right?
Yeah.
I'd say early February, maybe mid February is a good time. And I also really, really want to talk to your audience about the developer API and how there's all these kids who are building amazing applications who are way cleverer than I am as to what other people their age want, right? And they're building these applications, but what's really cool is that they're using our system to handle security because the reality is that all these kids have no clue how to handle this stuff.
Let's go ahead, Donna, set it up for call him beginning of February and then set it up for sometime in February, and we'll do a follow-up on this. So kind of remember what we talked about and what you want to focus on. And I tell you, what I'm looking forward to is a couple of months later, it's after the holiday season, and you can just kind of, because you would be a good touchstone for the adoption of brick and mortar space.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating because we can watch the volume of transactions, right? And even when Bitcoin drops in price, we can still see. What's fascinating is the volume of transactions normally skyrockets. That's like people buying and selling over the counter. See, I'm a big believer that most of the Bitcoin buy and sell doesn't happen on exchanges. Because if it did, the price would already be over the top. If you look at the price of Bitcoin on local Bitcoins, for example, localbitcoins.com.
Yeah, 15-20%.
It's higher.
Yeah.
Because that's the real price, right? What's on the exchange, that's small potatoes, just speculation.
Well, right? See, the thing, the reason I'm, and these guys, local Bitcoin will go out because it's anonymous, it's immediate, it's, you know, whatever it's worth somebody to get it, because I know a lot of guys here that make a lot of money doing that. And yeah. It's like they're, you know, door to door, I make house calls banker. I mean, you know, they have
that's
every
right.
month they got some doctor or lawyer or somebody with some money. They just keep dumping in every, and they call them in. And, you know, the main thing is that I'm going, all right, it's these ATMs. And I'm going, I just went to Libertopia, and I was in at Coins in the Kingdom in Orlando. And in both of them, they had machines there. I put cash in, got done.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going, yeah, this is way too easy. And it's,
exactly.
And it'll drive down the local Bitcoin percentages, too. But that...
Well, it's a little different market, right? Because those exchanges have a limit of how much they can do in both volume per day and volume per transaction because of compliance, right?
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, if I do a couple of thousand a day, it's a hell of a lot cheaper saving 15% on local.
Accommodate that.
Shit, I'll, instead of calling, I'll go to the damn machine every day for a month. I mean, you know, whatever it takes. Hey, I got to get to my next guest. Thank you very much. Donna's got a ping in there. Beginning of February, she'll be calling you and trying to set up another, and we'll take this to the next level on development. We'll go ahead and talk about that.
Thank you, and feel free. Create an account. Let me know the username. I'll make it free. Make the place for you to keep more funds, and then you use another web app wallet to have your spending funds. That's what we normally advise people.
Okay.
It's like if you're going to keep large amounts, create a multi-signature wallet on CoinKite, and we have high depositors. That's our meat and potatoes.
Really? Okay. Well, that'd be interesting to talk about, too. Hey, I got to get going. Thank you for the interview. We look forward to talking to you again and getting an update.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A new video has been released by the Maasai. calling for global support and solidarity for their efforts to oppose land theft by the Tanzanian government. A reported 40,000 Maasai are facing expulsion from their homeland following a decision by the Tanzanian government to seize a portion of their land for a wildlife corridor. The indigenous community says they will use violence, if necessary, to defend their way of life.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared describes Angel Clark. They're so nice to have Angel. There's a lot of things that are going on that I want to make sure we catch up on. I can get my glasses. Okay. This is just do a little quick intro here. Angel Clark. She's so pretty. Oh, that's another thing. I heard that she's lost a lot of weight. We'll talk about that too. Angel Clark is a talk show radio host, a blogger, a gamer, an activist, and lover of liberty. She has appeared on numerous televised news sources. Her writings have been featured in both local and national avenues. She's been interviewed by numerous talk show hosts, including me. She has been a guest speaker at rallies and interviewed hundreds of guests, including presidential candidates. Angel writes for numerous sites, including this, that, and this, and she's now international and has gone to Mexico. Angel, hello.
Hi, Ernie. It's so great to be here with you.
I've been looking forward to this. When I found out she got you hooked up, I'm like, yes. Okay. I know it was a big, giant secret for a long time. You know, it's like, I'm moving, me and my, my significant are going and kind of wording, you know, shh, don't tell anybody. Boom, it's Acapulco, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, I wanted to make sure that we could actually leave the country before we told people where we were going. Like, I didn't want anyone to stop us.
Yeah, you know, that could have... You really think that was a risk, or you just weren't willing to risk it?
I think, well, for me, I was just... I was slightly paranoid about it, but it was easier. I felt better knowing that there wasn't all this publicity about the move until after we had left the country because, I'm of Arab descent. My family's from Syria. And so when you have a Syrian anti-government activist traveling through the TSA who bought their plane tickets with Bitcoin, I was kind of worried about it, actually.
You know, I think you had legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. Okay. So you decided, two things. One, Acapulco, why? Two, you're down with Berwick, hanging out, what's up? And I was talking to Berwick, and he said, Angel lost a lot. I don't even want to say how much. You want to tell us how much?
At this point, it's been about 50 pounds.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you had that much to lose.
Actually, right now I'm about the same size that I was when I was in high school. And the big thing really, I think, has been just here. The foods that you eat are non-processed and non-GMOs, right? So everything that I eat is much healthier. And we don't have a car, so we walk everywhere. And I mean, honestly, before I knew it, the first 3 weeks that I was here, I lost 40 pounds.
Wait. Time out. 3 weeks, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Of what? Did you cut your hair?
No, not at all. I don't even really know. I went from, I was a size like 14 and now I'm a size 8.
America causes obesity.
I get it.
It actually does. I mean, the food that I'm eating is so much better, and just, you know, it's like, it's little things. You know, when I was in the States, if I wanted to go and say, get a pack of cigarettes, I would not walk to the store to do that. I would get in the car and I would ride with someone. I would drive, right? Well, here we don't have a car, so we just walk everywhere. So we're walking probably like 3 miles a day.
Well, that's not a lot. That's kind of like New York, you know?
Yeah, so, and but getting... it's a big difference from in the States where half the time you just sit there.
Well, I walk at least a half a mile between the TV and the bathroom, you know, back and forth. So, you know, the thing is, it's more than that. It's, I think a lot of it is just stress. You know, this comfort food kind of mentality of trying to create, you know, some levels in your brain of I got some pleasure instead of worrying I'm stressed all the time. God, has your stress level gone down?
My stress is pretty much non-existent at this point. I don't even like, I've made some new friends here. And the first day that I met one friend, an expat from the New York area, he said, I don't use the S word. And I was like, all right. And he's like, stress. I don't use that. Don't use that word in my presence. This is Acapulco. There's no stress here. We live happy lives. If something is bringing you stress, then maybe you're doing something wrong.
Well, you know, if you can be stress-free in Acapulco as the people are rising up, trying to burn down the presidential palace, which is, you know, not necessarily a stressful thing for you. But the, you know, as they're doing that, then, you know, because I wanted to talk about that. There was a gentleman that I had on, a few years ago, and his name was John Gibler. You know, you should, this is something that would be great for you and your show. Go ahead and, you know, make a note of this. John Gibler, G-I-B-L-E-R. He wrote a book, To Die in Mexico, and it was about the beginning. This is in 11 when he did this, and it was a fascinating book on the rise of the anti-drug war movement from the soccer moms in Mexico. No more blood. It was just, you know, we're done with this. And now the big uprising that's going on now in Acapulco was based on all these children being killed in this drug war thing. And then
it was horrible.
Here comes the president saying, you know, and the solution is not to eliminate the drug war. The solution is got to get rid of all those local cops and have federalized cops. And I'm going, yay, I know where that goes. You know, so tell us what's going on.
Here's the way I look at it, though, Ernie, is this is not my government. These people, I'm glad that they're protesting. I'm glad that they're rising up. And if I actually see them near me, then I'll record and I'll get footage of it. But I mean, there have been protests in the city, but they've all been like an hour and a half walk away from me. So I can't get there or it would just take me all day. And my other position is, you know, when I don't speak the language, I'm more worried that I'm going to end up being thrown in a cage. And for me at this point, it's not my government. I don't pay taxes. I don't support this government in any way, shape, or form. So I've got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. You know, I wanted to bring it up because I'm wondering how it adds to your quality of life there or subtracts. I mean, I don't know. It seems
I haven't seen a single protester, period. Like, I've had people contact me and they've said, oh my gosh, are you okay? There's riots in the streets of Acapulco. And I'm like, I just walked across half the city. I didn't see a riot.
You know, my thing, I see it as a, you know, a lot of people, oh my goodness, it's going bad. I'm going, it's starting to go good. I mean, when you have the people rising up against this, you know, this crap, and actually the issue starts coming up. We were covering it years ago where they're talking about the elimination of the drug war, just like prohibition here. And they're, for the same reasons and the same ways, they're seeing the corruption and stuff there. So I'm going, do you really add anything there, or are you just a expat with that speaks English and kind of, yo, come down here and chill? I mean, you know, it's what's your role there? Just living life, you know, or are you promoting Acapulco?
I would like to see more people come down here. But I mean, that's a choice that everyone has to make on their own. You know, if you decide that you're ready to leave the country, that you're okay with that and you're looking for a place to go, I absolutely recommend it here. But it's a decision that everyone has to make on their own. You know, it's a pretty serious decision.
Well, I want to know when we come back, we're going to find out why she left. why she chose there. We found out why she wanted to be secret about it, because she wanted to be able to get out. I escape. You know, this. Let us plan our escape. You know, Pina Colada songs will start, you know, getting popular here. Why? Because, you know, we just need to plan our escape. Do you got to escape? I don't know. We should have a plan. You know, Angel Clark led the way with a plan. We're going to hear more about it. Her move to Mexico. Why? And what she has to look forward to there. You know, how's life? Well, she's doing pretty well.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York.
Yeah, I want to see a picture. All right, let me see.
I was all ready to do video, but apparently my husband broke his webcam. So
50 pounds. How the hell is that even possible? I didn't. So what do you weigh now? 98.
I'm at like 125.
Holy crap! How heavy did you get?
I was around 180.
Damn.
I never really cared too much because in my opinion, I've always kind of looked the same. You know, I feel like I wore the weight relatively well, but, you know, right now I'm back down to where I was when I got married, which is kind of awesome.
All right. Very cool. Well, I'm glad to hear, you know, so tell us about, some of the questions I got. Okay. Why Acapulco and let's see, money. You know how you're doing banking. Do you have a bank account there? Do you have a job there? Do you, you know, how does that work? And then what's your relationship with the Mexican government? What's your future relationship? You know, how are you going to do that? And then what about, you know, property and the next 15 years? And what about children? And, you know, I mean, on and on and on and on. So this is, and then the expat community, you know, I'm interested in that. And that's one thing, you know, as much as Jeff pimps, you know, a lot of places around the world and traveling around and everything, I guess he kind of considers Acapulco his home base.
Yeah, he absolutely does. His family lives here.
Well, I mean, yeah, why? You know, so when we come back, we'll talk about that. Why?
Did you see the video of the house that I got?
No. Did you send it to Donna?
I will send it to you on Skype. Can she get it that way?
Eventually. I mean, you're better. Yeah. You know, I got it.
Because I'm on Dave's computer and he doesn't have all his passwords saved.
All right. Well, just go ahead. Yeah. Send it to me. The best way is email, you know, because then I actually see it. Everybody, I Facebooked you. Oh, you're confusing with somebody who gives a crap, you know? So, you know, we got to talk about Facebook. Yeah. See how you're still pimping on the whatever. And then there's different ones that are coming up, and there are different ones I would imagine Mexico uses too. So I'm wondering how much you're integrating there, or you're just kind of, hey man, I'm just an expat. I don't want to piss anybody off. I'm, you know, don't bother me. I won't bother you, you know. And you're doing all your radio giddy and everything, I would imagine.
Yep, still doing every bit of it. Okay. Let me get this video so I can send it to you.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, how's Christmas?
Feliz Navidad.
In Mexico. Is it more intense? Is it more stuff? Is it more, you know, not as much snow? So that's one thing. You know, what's the cultural differences there, Angel? I mean, I'm wondering how you're benefiting from, you know, just being in a different culture. Are you embracing it, or are you just a visitor and you don't bother me, I won't bother you? I mean, how are you integrating yourself?
Well, there are some things that I'm doing to integrate, and some things where I'm stepping back. So what I am doing is right now, obviously, I'm trying to learn the language. We've rented a house that is the house that I have rented is absolutely absolutely amazing, Ernie. You're not even going to believe this place. And so we've rented a house and we're
Give me
learning
square
the language.
Footage and how, you know, it's overlooking whatever and comes with 15 maids. I mean, you know, give me the and how much a month. I mean, come on, you know, pimp it.
Okay, well, the house is, you know, I don't know the square footage, but it's 3 bedrooms, 2 full bathrooms. I've got my master bedroom has a bathroom and a hot tub. I have a pool. I have a kitchen and a balcony area that's like a smoking room. And then I have the one whole wall of my house has floor-to-ceiling windows, and I'm 6 stories up, so I have a panoramic view of the entire city. $475 a month.
No freaking way. All yep. right. So you have maid?
Not yet. I'm getting
on the list.
It is on the list, actually.
I did. Damn, Skippy. I told Donna, I said, you know, wherever the Guatemalan foot rubber is, I just want to know where that is. That's all, you know, I will, you know, I can think of basking on the beach, you know, getting a massage, drinking by the pool, getting a massage. And she's like, okay, you know, that might not be that bad.
that can be life here if that's what you want. I mean, this place is just absolutely amazing. And one of the questions now here, first off, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now is I'm emailing your lovely wife, Donna, a video of my home so that you'll be able to watch it. Cause I took a video of it and I popped it online.
So you're just rubbing it in for everybody.
I want people to see what it's like here.
$400 and some dollars. Wow. Awesome. What about utilities and food and, you know, inflation of whatever? And are you using dollars? I mean, give me the skinny.
All right. I'm not using dollars. Do you know why? Because no one wants dollars.
Really?
No one accepts dollars here. They don't want it.
You know, that's different. So, I used to travel to Mexico. They preferred dollars. I guess not anymore, huh?
Definitely not anymore. I mean, I tried when I first got here. I was like, you know, this place has an exchange rate that's not the best, so let's just hold on to our dollars until we can get somewhere to exchange them. And so then we tried to, like, do anything. We couldn't buy food. We couldn't get a bus ticket. We couldn't do anything with dollars. The first thing we had to do was exchange all the dollars for pesos. No one wants the dollar anymore.
Okay, so you got your in pesos. What about, is Bitcoin becoming a thing there at all? Are you pimping that at all?
A little bit. It still has quite a ways to go. There are, Berwick has Anarchapulco coming up in February. It's like going to be this fantastic festival. I'm really looking forward to it. And there's going to be a lot of Bitcoin use and promotion there. And there's also, some kind of, basically decentralized Bitcoin party festival the week before that as well. I can't remember what it's called though. but it's the same as in most areas of the states where some people know what it is and some people don't, and some places accept it and some places don't. You know, I've got a friend who bought a penthouse here in Bitcoin.
Well, the thing that I really see the big advantage, and certainly in rural communities, is that it provides an immediate entry into international trade if you have the right contacts. You go to some local merchant of making of fill in the blank widget or something or food or whatever, and you just show them how easy it is to use, and all of a sudden, all of the negatives, all the reasons why they can't, all of the government incursions into the transaction and the cut of go away. And all it takes is, you know, just one, two, and then it just explodes. I already know it's going to happen. You know, it's. I've been tracking a lot of the. Matter of fact, right before you, we had a company that CoinKite that does actual merchant interfaces for Bitcoin with, you know, spending cards and like credit card terminal, and you can buy and sell and all that kind of stuff. And they're in 60 countries, and it's just starting to expand all over the world. Not so much in the United States, which is where they thought 70% of the business is going to be. Now it's 70% everywhere else. So I'm going in places like Mexico, certainly with an agricultural thing, because I remember here in Arizona when NAFTA hit, it destroyed the farmers in Mexico and Central America. That's what NAFTA did. It was just for the major corporations of blah, 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 and they were just totally shut out. And where did they go? They flooded across the border into the Southwest and then around America, Because these people, hardworking, you know, down in the earth, dirty hands, productive people, their entire livelihood just went away. And now you got Monsanto, you know, invading everywhere. So it's just, I mean, I can see that, you know, Bitcoin has such a larger ramification on social and economic, you know, behavior that I can see why it's a threat. And it's just like the money making they're doing with all this drug war stuff. I see that starting to go. What's the flavor there for the drug war?
See, here's the thing, though, is that, like, for example, I'm waiting to get internet in my new house, right? It's why you don't have video of me right now. Do you know that so far it has been 3 weeks? 3 weeks to get internet put in the house.
And I'm
told it could take another week on top of that. So what I think is that a lot of people are unable to, say, take time off of work to sit at home. I mean, so far the internet people have told me 5 different days that they would show up, and they haven't. So I think it's difficult for a lot of people to get internet in their homes here.
Well, you know, you think that's changing? I mean, with satellite, I mean, that's another thing. Technology, it's getting to where it's not even going to be ground-based anymore. It's a satellite, high speed, and we're done.
Yeah. Oh, that would be wonderful. I mean, what I've seen here is a lot of people very open to accepting new things and accepting new forms of payment, as long as it's not the U.S. dollar. So I've definitely bought things in Bitcoin, and I've used Bitcoin here, and there are some places that accept it. Not enough yet. But again, it's, when I lived in the States, the town that I lived in, there were only like 2 businesses that accepted Bitcoin.
Are you using credit cards a lot, or do you have a bank account that's at a Mexican bank? How are you doing your banking?
No, I use PayPal. I use Bitcoin. And then what I did is, before I left the States, I got, you're going to laugh at me, I got like a Walmart prepaid reloadable card, and that is the equivalent of my bank account.
Really? So, I mean,
yeah, there's no fees. There's no nothing. There's no overdraft fees. None of that. I'm not giving my money to JP Morgan. So I feel better about that.
So the Walmart card, is that used at other retailers other than Walmart in Mexico?
Yeah, it's just like a debit card. It's got a MasterCard.
Oh, okay. So it's a MasterCard debit card. You got it. Well, okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. All right, Angel's doing it. If Angel could do it, you know. I'm interested. We're going to Narco Poco. We'll be down there and visit and such, and get the report on, you know, the ground. We'll be right back with Angel Clark. Yeah, the day-to-day life, do you have a blog, or you talk about it on your show? Where do they go?
I've done a little. It's been very difficult without the internet, man. It's been driving me batty. So once I get the internet in my house, I think I'll feel better, and I'll be able to do more. Like, you know, it's been,
what were you doing your show at, Jess?
Yeah. I'm still doing the show. But I changed my show schedule now. So now my show is only on Wednesdays from 3 to 5.
Okay. Well, at least we get a weekly update.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Since I have 22 audiobooks to narrate now.
Oh, yeah.
I am racking them up. I have 22 of them that I have to do.
Wow. You know, there was a guy came to a party here. What was it? God, was that a
Did Donna club? Get that video?
I don't know. She's off getting, you know, her and somebody getting all our Christmas decorations out to do whatever. She wants it. Did you get the video? Did you send it email or Skype?
Email.
Okay, go ahead and check the video. See if you can put it up into the third hour.
Yeah, I want you to see it. Your mind is going to be. I couldn't believe it myself, Ernie. I mean, this place is just. It's amazing. It really is.
Okay, just hold on a second. Just click it and turn it this way. I want to see. Okay, this house that she's showing here is $400 and something a month.
$475.
Okay, we'll go ahead and put it up in the third hour. We'll do it from there. You want me to show it on the show?
Oh, that's up to you. I just wanted you to see it.
No, I understand. Well, I mean, we can have it playing while we're yakking. You know, the so your encouragement of other people to do what you did would be based on what? Whether they did or didn't have kids, it doesn't matter. Someplace, how much money you need to have, the mindset.
What matters is the way that you make your money, because there are no jobs here.
Hmm.
And that's something that I want to get into. But also what I did is when I came down here with $500.
Wow.
And for the first 2 months, I've lived off of $500 a month income.
And you did that. You were willing to do that. Why? It was that bad. And where were you? Connecticut
or
something?
To show people that you can do it here, because a lot of people have looked at, like, you know, Berwick, and they've said, "Oh, well, it's great that you have this life there, but you're a millionaire. I can't do the same thing." And I wanted to show people that you could come here and you could make a life with much, much less money, and the life that you make can be fantastic and amazing and wonderful.
Well, do you get the beach thing, or are you just...
I'm a 10-minute walk away from the beach, but I like where I'm at because I have the view of the entire city, and I have quiet so that I can record.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we're going down. One thing Jeff said, he goes, people just need to get out of the freaking U.S. I mean, it doesn't even matter where you can just get out of the U.S. and see, feel the wet wool blanket on your soul be lifted, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize how much better it is once you leave.
Yeah, I got grandkids, so I mean, that's a big giant, I wouldn't even consider it really an anchor, but it's a motivation to kind of...
To stay, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I mean, I don't want to just stay. I mean, it's like, stay in a way that I want to, you know? All right, here we go. Come on.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, Christmas in Mexico, that would be it. I've had a lot of experience living in the Southwest. Christmas is here. It's taken seriously by the Hispanic community. So I'm just wondering, is that a big thing in Mexico, Angel? Is it as commercialized? Is it more? Is it less? What's the experience there in Mexico during the Christmas season?
Do you know the Christmas season started like 3 weeks ago? So I'm in Walmart. And I'm buying stuff for my new house, and I hear Christmas music playing in English. And okay. I was like, but it's like November 10th. Why are they already playing Christmas music? Well, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So it starts earlier.
So they don't have a starting pistol.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What's their equivalent of
Black Friday? Do they have a Black Friday?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, are they very commercialized? Is it like, Hispanic Santa Clauses at every mall? I mean, how does that work? They got Salvation Army ringers?
I haven't seen any of those, but you know what I've seen everywhere? Coca-Cola Santa Claus ads.
Of course.
It's like every two streets you see a sign for Coca-Cola, and half of them have Santa Claus ads on them. I mean, they basically own all the advertising in Acapulco that I've seen.
Well, what is the way to make money to spend on Christmas there? I mean, the industry in Acapulco, I imagine, would be, vacation. It's a lot of, foreign money coming in. But, you go down there and we were talking off air, you go down with, and I got $500. And I'm going to Mexico. I'm just doing it because I can show that we can do it, and we did it. And I just, so this is, and you went because why? I mean, what was got under your skin here that you needed to leave?
Well, a big part of it was the police state. I found myself being pretty scared of.
Oh, did we lose her? Let's go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and do this. I got skills, man. I can do it. Boom, boom. Come on, Angel. Well, that's too bad. You know, we'll work on it and see if we can get her back. You know, the one thing that you want to make sure that you have when you're talking to people about doing it, moving anywhere, is that, you know, is it going to be as safe or safer? When you have, and that's one thing that I didn't know about Angel, is having a family history of being from Syria and trying to fly and going internationally and doing and having a freedom oriented talk show and doing it. You know, I wanted to talk to her about social media in Mexico also, because she is really big on Facebook and all that. And I'm just like, you know, ew. You know, I'm looking for the next, you know, distributed internet, distributed communication, satellite based, you know, all these problems that she's talking about with the internet, you know, with a lot of the satellites and so on. It's getting to the point
this
where it's not a problem.
This is the Angel Black Show on radiofreedom.us. If this is between the hours of 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, then...
Yeah, we got a... We'll try it again. That was her answering machine. All right, well, we'll try it. That's too bad. See what she comes in, send me this, and you. The internet is going to be, we just had, in preparation for my space presentation I'm doing in a couple of weeks, there was a TED Talk that was just done here recently, and they were talking about the CubeSats, and it literally is the size of a loaf of bread, you know? All right, let's give her another shot here. Gotcha, Angel?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Ah, it's freaking slacktivist. It's because you don't have satellite communication. Okay, the one thing that, yeah, that's one, before we lose you, I wanted to ask you a real quick couple of questions. Your social media that you, I mean, when you wanted to know about, you know, telephone, telegraph, and tell Angel, I mean, you know, and it would, it would hit the freaking, you know, media and social media. And I'm wondering, how is that being used by you in Mexico without an internet connection? It's not, but I mean, are there other alternatives? Have you kind of gone a different direction? What's your thought?
To be honest, for the past, we've been down here now for, I guess, 1 month and about 3 weeks. And it has taken us to be, well, we kind of adjusted to life in Mexico pretty quickly. But to get into the house and to start getting furniture and to try and get this hooked up and get that hooked up. I haven't even really bothered too much about social media. In fact, I just started playing with it again, like last night, because I've been so focused on other things. And here's the thing too, is that in the States, I almost never left the house, right? I was very antisocial. I never went outside. Well, here we've made a few friends, but the friends that we've made are almost all expats. So you feel like we have the same mindset. So the friends that we've made, they've all left their families and are here. So you find yourself going out a lot more because they're great people. You have the same mindset. So you end up just going out a lot.
Well, that's, and a lot of these people are of what age? Are they retirees, or are there some young people doing this? Or they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's both. You know, a lot of people come down here when they retire because your Social Security that you get is crap, but you could live on Social Security here almost like a king. But the friends that I've made are maybe in their, some are in their 20s, some are in their 30s, some are in their 40s. So it's all different age groups.
You know, that's
really
amazing that you would say they could live, and that's in Acapulco, which is a resort town. I mean, it'd probably be even go even further if you're down the beach some or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a town about 4 hours south of us where you can get a beach house for around $300 a month. I mean, right on the beach, but they sometimes have no, like the power goes out occasionally and it's very, very difficult to get internet there. So if you're willing to say,
Solar and satellite. See, this is my point. Technology is going to cure a lot of these things to where, you know, when they go first world country, I'm going, China doesn't have 50 gazillion miles of copper wire to lay. You know what I mean? They don't need to. The technology is totally different now to where infrastructure is pretty much down to the individual level. I was just talking when you're off the TED Talk they just had recently on the CubeSats that are being launched by the dozens.
You know, there's a loaf of bread with a, you know, solar panels, and it's a smartphone as a part of a constellation of we did 30 at one time by SpaceX. Get over it. I mean, it's happening not later, Angel. It's now. So this technology is getting to where, you know, it's like, we're going to eliminate all these excuses even that you had. And then what? We're still here because we don't know any better.
And that's what I've been trying to do, is to show people that, that you can do it. Now, I have to emphasize, it's very, very important. You have to have an income that is not from Acapulco. There are business opportunities here, but a good paying job here is between $15 and $20 a day. And you can't really live the life that I'm living off of that $15 a day. You can't do it.
Wow. But if you got any amount of money at all and you get down there and some kind of revenue stream from internet or something, man, you'd
exactly.
be silent.
Okay. Exactly. And so I've wanted to show people that you can do it. And another thing I've done, for example, is I've gone to the grocery store and priced out groceries for a week for me and my significant other. And you know, in the States, we would spend maybe $125 on groceries. But here it's between $18 to $30 a week.
Wow. And fresher, better food?
Fresh fruit and vegetables and everything's fresh. I mean, there's no preservatives in the food here.
Okay. So when you're buying stuff, it's not in a cardboard box and Mylar bag?
No.
No? Well, how do you know it's safe? All right, more with Angel Clark when we come back from Acapulco, Mexico, where she's made the move. Yeah, everybody's talking about yak. She went.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
The Free State Project thing, what's your view on that? Yeah, what the heck, man? Just go to Mexico?
It's too cold there. Like, I don't want 5 feet of snow outside my house.
Yeah, that's not like, you whip, you know, you freeze for freedom. I mean, you know, I'm going, yeah, but I'm in Arizona. I don't have to. So,
right? It's 85 degrees here every day.
You know, is that hot, or is it pretty nice? You got a cool breeze. I mean,
there's a really nice cool breeze, and especially like inside my house. I'm told that during the summer months we'll need air conditioning because it'll get up to around 105, and it's very humid. But right now it's their winter time, so it's a cool breeze coming through. There's like practically no humidity. I don't even have an air conditioner. I just open the windows.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Because it can get hot. I mean, you know,
when you come down here for Anarcopoco, you'll see for yourself. I mean, apparently it's the prime tourist season when you're coming.
No, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah, I was kind of looking forward to, you know, some scuba, but it's not really, you know, a lot to do there, I'm told. But Dominica, in Pi Day in March, they're doing that Bitcoin drop. You know about that?
No, I haven't looked into it.
Coinapult, Eric and those guys, what they did is they had, I guess, the prime minister of Dominica. It's a Caribbean island, you know, north of Grenada and that chain there. And the entire country has 73,000 people. They're giving a Bitcoin wallet and $10 in Bitcoin to everybody. It's going to be almost $1 million that they come up with.
Oh, that's genius.
So an entire country gets Bitcoined up, and they're having a big, you know, party there on Pi Day, which is, you know, March 14th, 15, 9,
something in the morning, that kind of thing. So I'm going, okay, well, that's convenient. So they go down there and pimp that, and I'm going, yeah, how many U.S. destroyers are going to be off the beach on that one, you know? So I'm going, so I want to be there for that, plus there's good scuba. So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, Don and I go do that. Because I can, you know, I'm looking for the freeing of individual minds and going places to, you know, infect and free other minds, and that's what you're doing there. I mean, by you're much
trying
more
to, yeah.
Well, you know, Jeff is more international, dealing with whatever, where you're in a totally different mindset. Here, hold on, here yeah. we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
It's Christmas time. Here at the Hancock Gallery, out there, Donna's working with Gina and the girls and everybody kind of putting up Christmas lights so I can, you know, spend some electricity. Okay. This is what this year, I tell you, Angel, I wanted to share this with you and you'll understand. You know, I'm wondering what kind of family ties you have that you left because, you know, this year I really put an emphasis on not having a lot of obligations during the holidays. I didn't want to have, you know, a lot of people bothering me. I just wanted family, grandkid, and that kind of stuff. And the reason was I just had this sense of, you know, are we there yet? Well, it's pretty freaking close. And I'm wondering if we're going to have the kind of memories and the positive feeling and none of the stress and all that. You know, like, everybody's got a job, you know, everybody's doing okay with their health. You know, the children are okay. The grandkids are okay. Everything's okay. Let's enjoy it this year, because next year, it might not be that okay. And I'm going, are you feeling that, or have you kind of, you know, cast that off in your move down there, and you have a more positive view of the future, what?
Well, you know, there are a few different aspects of this. I mean, first off, Famous Dave, my producer and significant other, he's from a huge, huge family. And so he's had a lot of family that he's left behind. My family on my dad's side is very large. And on my mom's side, the extended family is very large. I've got a nephew who's about to turn 2 and a niece who's turning 8 and a couple brothers. So I've got some family that I left, but we don't have kids. I felt like there was much less tying us to the States. Now, what I've been able to do is I've been able to take time and video chat with my family on a regular basis, right? So I still Skype the family, and I've taught my mom, who can barely turn on a computer, how to use Skype. And I've taught a few people in the family to use Skype. My 8-year-old niece knows how to Skype me now. And even my 2-year-old nephew, he's been able to video chat with me. Of course, he's more interested in looking at himself on the screen than actually chatting, because he doesn't really know how to talk too much yet either. But for me, I didn't really see my family a ton when I lived in the States. So
probably communicate with them more now.
Yeah, I talk to them more now. It didn't really make sense to, I kind of missed my family a little bit at Thanksgiving. They called me up and there's, you know, 20 people in the house for Thanksgiving dinner, and they're video chatting and they're like, look, we're eating the cherry pie that would normally be for you. And I was, you know, a bit, I missed my mom's cooking. But when you have to make a decision like, well, stay somewhere where I'm pretty miserable and unhappy and cold, so that I can have cherry pie at Thanksgiving, or move somewhere where I can live much better on the same amount of money and be happier and freer. And it was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, I can buy cherry pie at the store.
Yeah. Are you influential to some of your family or friends? Or they're going, yeah, Angel did it. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
I've had 7 people contact me so far about moving down to Acapulco, and about another 15 who have contacted me about wanting to visit to kind of lay down feelers for moving. So I think a lot of people saw what I did and it changed their mindset, because, you know, if you pay attention to what the United States government says, they say that Acapulco is like the 3rd most dangerous city in the world.
Yeah, compared to what?
Right, exactly. Like I'm sorry. I was more terrified living in the States. You know, the cops here, if they pull you over, you throw them $20 and they leave you alone.
Really?
In the States, they tase you and shoot you.
You know, this is a lot of SWAT raids. Are there drug,
I haven't seen a single one.
Dogs getting killed and cats stomped and stuff, no?
No, I haven't seen a single one. And actually, there are a bunch of street dogs here in Mexico. And it took me a while to get used to it. Basically, on every street, you'll see a couple dogs that are just laying around, lazing in the sun. And the food literally falls off the trees here because the food is just very bountiful. There's coconut trees and all these trees everywhere. So the food's all over. And the street dogs aren't starving. They're very friendly, right? I've got, there's two that live outside of a guy's house who lives about three houses down. And, I walk everywhere. And these two now follow myself and my significant other everywhere we go. I mean, they actually followed us for a 20-minute walk the other day while we went to the store. They waited outside the store and then they walked back with us. And they were so happy and pleasant. You know, in the States, you see these dogs on the street, they round them up, they throw them in cages, and then they kill them. Yeah. But here, it's not like that.
Well, that's cool for dogs. But if they were cats, though, they're moving targets. Anyway. Oh, did I say, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
You did. You absolutely did.
Nobody's supposed to diss on cats, man. That's a bad thing to do on the internet. Okay. I can't believe I didn't think of this. I got to share this with you. I'm going, wow. I bet there's videos on catapults. And they're catapulting.
That's horrible.
I know. So I go up and I look. I guarantee that not a single one. They scrubbed the internet of it, and people have done it. Anyway, so I just, cats are off limits. All right. So the relationship with the people there, though, I mean, as you're looking for the foreseeable future, you're planning a life there 5, 10, 15 years. Is Acapulco a launch place for maybe going up in the mountains or further down the beach, or you kind of happy where you're at? What's your perspective?
We signed a 1-year lease for the place that we're at right now. I'd like to eventually build a house here because it's so insanely cheap and it's so gorgeous. But so I think what I ultimately want to do is have Acapulco be my home base. So stay here for a while and then jump off and visit another country for a few months and then come back for, 9 months here and then spend the summer when it's hot, spend that somewhere else in a different country and just kind of travel around and use this as a home base. Because when, my income has not changed, but my standard of living has increased exponentially. So it's allowing me to live a lifestyle that I've kind of always wanted. But
yeah, you lost 50 pounds. Are you freaking kidding me? I didn't know you had that much to lose. So I'm just going, all right. That's one thing Jeffy said. You should see Angel, man. She got all svelte, just boom. I go, why? I don't know. She walks everywhere. I know she ate good food. I mean, because. So this is the atmosphere there. It's not just, the weather and the climate and the resort town and that kind of stuff.
No, the people are amazing. The people are so friendly and kind. And I'll be honest with you, they love tourists. They adore tourists because the people that live here, a lot of them are very, very poor. So when someone comes in and they're spending money, then they love that and they do whatever they can to help you so that you give them up.
This is the one thing that I always ask when I talk about other countries and people. We've had these kind of conversations before with people, and they go, Ernie, it's the culture. And I ask, I'm going, yeah, they go, oh, the law, they just passed the law and the government, the law and the police and the government and the law. And I go, yeah, I don't really care about that. I'm wondering what are the people screaming for more law? We got to go, that guy's doing something. He's having fun. Go get him. I mean, that attitude is so ingrained here in the United States. Is that cultural difference, recognizable there?
Well, let me give you just a prime example. I was on Twitter, of course, yesterday, and I noticed a trending hashtag, Yomi Kansa. And it means I am sick and tired. And I was like, well, what is going on with this? And I look into it, and the people of Mexico have tweeted out that hashtag 146 million times.
Whoa.
Within the past week.
Whoa.
And they're saying, I am sick and tired of government. These people are just, they, I'm telling you, these people are about freedom. They're about happiness. They're about, just very, very positive
things. Yeah, screw it. We don't want to go America. We'll fix it here. You know? And that's why we did the Filosofía de la Libertad. Okay? It was a Spanish version of the Philosophy of Liberty animation, and we gave 25,000 cards out to 200,000 immigrants that were here protesting years ago, and it was like, damn, you left Mexico because of these problems. Don't bring them here. Hell, go fix it. So I think they're going to fix it. They're going to fix it. And who's going to help them? Well, be a good example. Be Angel Clark. Angel Clark. We're going to do some more. We're going to talk to Angel a little bit more. Go to the archive where you get all the good anyway. All the secrets. Angel has secrets. She hadn't told us yet. Now we're going to find out all the secrets she hadn't told us. You want to know the secret, Angel Clark's secret? Go to the archive. We'll have it posted here in an hour or so. But I got more I want to talk. I got a bunch of questions here we need to get to. We need to do this again. And of course, probably right before Anarchapulco, we'll be going down there in the end of February for that. And then right after that, we go to the Bit Drop in Dominica. Oh, Angel Clark's blazing their trail. Tip of the spear. More. Go to the archive.
What if the key to it?
Boom! Archive. Okay. So these are some of the questions that I had up here. Let's see. Relationship, future. And I think the note that I made there is how much are you investing yourself in friends and relationships there in community? Is it individuals? Are you joining the local meetup of expat or whatever? You know, is it you integrating into Acapulco itself, or are you just spending more time separating from America?
You know, a lot of what I'm doing is hanging out with expats. I mean, that's pretty much it. In fact, the house that I'm renting, an expat friend that we met when we first came here, there was one other place available in my building. So he got the same one. So now he lives across the hall from me. And, so what we've done at this point is probably 4 days a week. We're going out and we're hanging out with expats and, a lot of what we're doing is just kind of talking about what it's like. You see, one of the friends that I've made has been here now for six years. And the other one, the guy who just bought a place across the hall, he's been here for about 3 months. So there are a lot of adjustments that have to be made. And in a country where I don't speak the language too well yet, it's really nice to have someone that you can speak fluently with. And what I've found is that the people that I've met here that are expats, they're awesome. Seriously, Ernie, these people are amazing because they all had the exact same idea that I did.
Oh, no, I'll tell you this, Angel. I don't know. Have you had much experience with immigrants or Hispanics or anything where you were here in America?
Yeah, where I used to live is the number one producer of chickens on the East Coast. Okay. So chicken houses everywhere, which means Mexican and Guatemalan employees.
Exactly. And my thing was, I was in the restaurant business. So I had, you know, I was a conduit. Yeah, bring in all the cousins, man. I don't care. The I-9 said, what does it say here? I have inspected their documents and they appear to be genuine to me. Hey, last I heard, you know, Uncle Sam used cocktail napkins. You know, I don't give a crap, you know?
Right.
So the thing is, but they did get, you know, get me something. I go, just give me something that looks, you know, okay, boom, zero. I put it in their file. Hey, man, I did it. You know, peace out. All right. So I was not, because I hated the wording of it. What it said, it says, you have examined their documents, you know, for their right to work, and they appear to be genuine. Okay. And they have, or something like that. And I go, yep. They appear to be genuine to me, and they got a right to work fog this mirror. And I'm going, that right to work thing just, I mean, it's like indoctrination. And I hated that. So I had no problem. They get called in by the IRS. Hey, they want me to come. I go, they don't care. Go. That's not an immigrant thing. And maybe now, but I go, back then, they don't give a crap. They just want to know where to allocate the tax and the money and the Social Security because you got the same Social Security number as 13 other people. Okay. So they go in, and sure enough, they get them a tax ID. They felt, hey,
That's all he wanted, just to allocate another number, a separate account of whatever. I go, cool, you'll never get it. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, this is what they wanted. So my whole attitude was different because the people that came, the expats from their country, came here to work. All
yeah,
this
they,
bullshit
they wanted
about
to work to make money to send it home.
Yeah, all this bullshit about, you know, some welfare or whatever. And I'm going, one, I don't give a crap who's taking it. I mean, they're from Appalachia or the Rocky Mountains or something in the white trailer trash of the whatever, who can, you know, what's the difference? You know, they're stealing from me. I go, and these aren't those people. That I know this for a fact. I have a lot of employees and friends that I got to learn a lot about different parts of Mexico. And I'll tell you what it was. It was NAFTA. NAFTA just beat the living crap out of the farming industry there. So a lot of these were laborers that came up, you know. So I'm going, okay, I see. So when you go down there as an expat, they... What's the immigration laws? They, I mean, of course, in a resort area and you're bringing money, they love you a long time. But
oh,
I mean,
it is when you enter the country, you are allowed to be in there for 6 months and then you can leave the country for, say, just crossing the border or for an hour and you come back and you're cleared for another 6 months.
Oh, so is there a way to get out of that or... I mean, you're going to try and get something?
We're I think, going to declare residency.
Well, does that put you in another category of, oh, I didn't know that part?
Yeah, well, if we declare residency, then I guess what's going to happen is the first $90,000 that we make is going to be tax-free in the States because the States assumes that Mexico is taxing you for it and Mexico doesn't have an IRS. So...
I'm moving. That's all you had to say. Oh my God. Well, so how do they deal with income taxes? Income is not taxed.
They've got something like an IRS, but it's more like it's voluntary, right? So like you walk in and I was talking to some guy and apparently he got a job in Mexico and decided that he wanted to pay taxes. So he goes into the IRS building and they're equivalent of the IRS and he says, you know, I made this much money, I want to pay taxes, and they're like, you're volunteering to pay taxes? And he's like, yeah.
Put him on our
moron list. Give us $15.
Put him on the moron list.
Right. They were like, just give us $15 a month. Right?
Like, okay.
So the things here are just, they're very different.
Well, that's why I always focus on the cultural aspect. You know, I'm going, what is it that the people are looking for? I mean, you know, what was the hashtag that you said to trending Twitter? It was...
Yo mi cansa.
I've had enough or something, was it?
I am sick and tired.
You know, I'm sick and tired and I'm not taking it anymore. I'm mad as hell, yeah. And I'm not taking it anymore.
Basically, yeah, we're not going to take it.
Well, take what? I mean, what are they talking about?
Well, their government is very corrupt. You know, they're tired of the war on drugs. They're tired of the cops killing people. They're tired of politicians killing people. They're sick of it.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to want, you know, a better, kinder, gentler ruler or something, or are they...
Probably. Right now, they are, in fact, calling for the resignation of the entire government. But you know how most people work. They're probably going to want it replaced.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the concept of voluntarism is even known, or is it the youth bring it up, or
it's not known yet.
And you don't want your name on the front top of the list.
Well, I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is that these people, I think, are much closer to getting rid of their government.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. A lot of people didn't really understand, you know, why. You know, Freedom's Phoenix, the logo, that bird, is from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. You know, it's Lady Liberty's torch that's holding it. And I just knew that the flames would go out, and you get a little wisp of smoke comes up, winds of freedom come in, boom, the phoenix comes out. And I go, yeah, where do you think Freedom's Phoenix is going to explode on the scene? It's going to be, you know, freaking Moscow, Havana, Detroit. I mean, you know, I mean, where do you think it was going to happen? It's wherever the ashes are. So, well, of course you're going to have more freedom coming out of Detroit, because government went away. And then as soon as you start having
some kind of productivity, there's some politician wanting to cut a yellow ribbon, welcome back to the tax rolls or something, you know? So I'm just going, no, it's a cultural thing. So I'm wondering, you know, the people there, is that ingrained in some history, kind of a founding, we got the imperial Spanish whatever off, we need to do it again and create it with Articles of Confederation of nothing or what? I mean, do they have a solution? Is there a libertarian type party? Is there, you know, do you even know?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't
not your
really
problem.
Looked into it.
Yeah.
that's the way I've looked at it, is it's not my government, it's not my problem.
Well, how safe do you think you are as, you know, just the expats down there? They're not targeted for anything or kidnapped or any of that crap?
Oh, no. Actually, the cartels have, they have said, you don't touch the tourists. Don't touch them. They bring us money and they bring their friends down here. You don't touch them. We're actually protected here.
All right, that's cool. You know,
yeah.
Better than not. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Okay, I've got some pretty funny stories for you too about the way my family reacted to us coming down here.
Please.
Well, you know, my dad is from Syria. So my dad is straight off the plane, right? Straight off the plane. So when he was like 19, he came to the States, and now he goes back and he visits Syria occasionally. He hasn't been in a few years because, you know, war zone. But he comes from a country where the government killed 80,000 people in a weekend.
Damn.
And so he understood me wanting to, I guess, move. But to him, America is still the land of dreams, the land of opportunity. So he's first off telling me, well, you know, I don't know exactly why you're leaving, because all you have to do is just finish your college education and you can live like a king here. No, Dad, no,
yeah.
But okay. And then every 3 seconds now he tells me to be safe here. I'm like, be safe. Are you look where you came from? This place is nowhere near as dangerous as where you came from, and you're telling me to be safe?
And where do they live now? Connecticut or what?
No, he's in Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay, so it's all relative, you know, and peace of mind. Are you able to kind of give him a peace of mind? You're giving him examples that you feel pretty secure?
Yeah, I mean, I showed him the video of my house. It's actually, I mean, my house is halfway up a mountain and 6 stories up. I don't know how someone's going to break into it.
How do I get it? I'm going to show this video if I can. Oh, did you put it in the archive?
It's in the archive.
Oh, okay. So let me go ahead and go to the archive. We can show it, you know, while you're yakifying. Okay, let's see. Boom, boom, boom. I have skills. You know, the other thing is a social media thing. You being off of that, you know, oh my God, yesterday I checked Twitter. So you were checking Hispanic Twitter or what?
Actually, it was trending in D.C.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's where my Twitter is set to show me the trend.
It was required back here. I want to show you the house that...
Right now, I had the audio up. Okay, it's you showing your house. It's 3:53. We'll just let it go. Wow. So you got a view of the high right. You know, is there a lot of new buildings going on? I mean, how is the development there? Wait. Let me see. I got to hold on a second. I got to turn the volume off of this one, then turn the volume up on you.
There are a ton of places for sale and rent.
Why? I mean, they just mass building or what?
I guess about 2 years ago, Acapulco was pretty dangerous, and they've gotten things under control, but a lot of people left.
Well, who left? Oh, the people they from the violence and so on or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a lot of play, and then they cleaned up their act, and now it's you know, a lot of places for you?
Oh, a ton. I mean, seriously, the places I looked at houses for $300 a month. I mean, the cost of living here is just, it's so much less. I mean, I'm in love with the view of my house.
Yeah,
this place is
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's one thing in Mexico. Everything is stucco and concrete. You don't have this carpet thing to deal with. And, you know, and I remember, you know, Rocky Point down here, it was nice to be able to take a hose and wash all the sand out. But, you know, this is the weather is nice. I mean, does this come with central air at all?
No. We've got to put in air conditioning, but I don't think we're going to need it until about June. And then we might, you know, spend the summer somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this looks pretty nice here. Okay, now the other thing is that the access to amenities like the resorts or the beaches or, you know, stuff like that, the expats, they got to pay a premium, or is there cheaper ways for the locals?
No, I mean, a lot of the beaches are just public. So you can just walk right onto the beach. They have some resort like hotels, but honestly, where I live is kind of like I'm a 10-minute walk away from the beach, and right next to the beach is a main stretch, and it's called Costa Azul, and there are shops and restaurants and stores and water parks all right off of this road, and this road goes down maybe around I don't know, like 6, 7, 10 miles. And it's just, this road is just packed full of stuff. And you can just walk down and go wherever you want. Oh my gosh, I went to this movie theater, right? I went to this movie theater. It's a VIP movie theater. It was $8 for a ticket. You get in, you sit down in a Lazy Boy recliner, and then they have waiters and waitresses that come in and they take your order and they bring you sushi and pizza and popcorn and pina coladas or vodka and Red Bull, whatever you want, man.
Wow. Okay, so $8. It's resort living.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. The $8 includes the meal?
No, but the meal was pretty right, affordably priced for Acapulco. So it was like, for example, $5 for a roll of sushi, or you could get a pizza for $4.
You know, I'm wondering about children. You know, education. Is there an expat school?
They have numerous Montessori schools here. And from what I understand, it's about $4,000 a year to have your child in the Montessori school. They don't have laws against homeschooling here either. So if you want to homeschool, you can also get tutors. As I told you, a good paying job here is $20 a day. So you can bring in private tutors for your children for $20 for whatever lesson. And so like I'm actually, you know, I want to have maybe one of the small children at some point in time, maybe in about a decade. And I think that this would be a relatively good place to do it, because here's the other thing that I've found is there's a very big sense of community here. So, for example, they have, do you remember watching videos of neighborhoods in the 50s or 60s where they had, you know, there's like the grandmother who lives in the development who keeps an eye on all the kids and everyone's always watching to make sure that they're safe. That's the way it is here.
I lived it. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a real sense of community. I mean, people are always watch, especially for the children. The people here are always watching out for the children.
You know, I'm really interested. By the time I get down, I'll do some more research on it. Matter of fact, you know, because of what's been happening, you know, I really want to see which turn Mexico takes on the drug war and so on, and the government and everything. By the time I get down there, hopefully you'll be able to kind of share politically. You know, I understand your reluctance to just waste time on who cares, you know, as long as they're leaving me alone, you know, I'm good. And everybody's like, you know, but you need to get invited. I go, why? To what purpose? I'm going to vote myself free or something? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's where you're treated best. You know, that's one thing. There's a kid, his name, Andrew Henderson, you know, Nomad Capitalist, or Capitalist Nomad. And he had an event in Vegas called Passport to Freedom. And it was, you know, like Goyad and Berwick and myself and Schiff and so on were there speaking. And he made one point. A lot of the people there were investors. They paid $1,500 a ticket to go to this thing. And he's going, he's traveling around the world. And he's like, you know, really tall, thin, very white, young kid. And I'm going, at 6'4", it's not like you blend, you know. And I think he was at least 6'2". And I'm going, you know, if you're on the beach in Cambodia, kind of stick out. And he goes, you know, anywhere is better than the U.S. I go where I'm treated better. Every place is better. So I'm wondering, you go to Mexico, is it better? I mean, you're just treated better. That's all it takes is better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let me give you an example of service in just say a bar in Mexico, right? So you come in and you sit down, and there is an ashtray on the table. The hostess or the host, they lead you to your table, to where you're going to be sitting, and you sit down. And then every time that you smoke a cigarette, as soon as you put the cigarette out, they change the ashtray. Let's say that you...
oh, my God, you're smoking cigarettes? They're allowed?
Inside, of course. Okay. And so, but they change the ashtrays out, like, every 3 or 4 minutes. And they're constantly, they come and check to see if you need refills on your drinks. Let's say a lot of times we'll get, like, a bottle of alcohol, right? So let's say we decide we want to get a bottle of vodka, because that's what we tend to drink. So you get a bottle of vodka for, you know, let's say $25. And so you get the bottle and they bring it out to you. It's sealed. They show you that it's sealed. Then they open it up. Then they pour it in all of your drinks for you. And anytime that it gets low, they come over and they pour it back in. And anything that you need, they do. Anything that you want, they do. The people here bend over backwards to help you because they want you to come back and spend more money.
Is that unique to Acapulco and the resort areas, or have you traveled more rurally at all?
No, not yet. I want to learn the language before I do a lot more traveling.
Being a pretty young white girl, you know, God knows what will happen. You know?
Oh, I look Spanish now. Here's the thing is that I look Spanish, and I've had people now talking to me fluently in Spanish. And when I tell them I don't understand, they look at me like I'm stupid.
Yeah, like, having the Syrian kind of olive, you know, darker hair, skin. Yeah, you're kind of look kind of, you know, Hispanic. So that's cool. You know, we're watching your videos here. They're play all. So I guess it's like it's just running through. We're getting a tour of Acapulco as you're talking. No. Okay. So this is, you know, the neighbors. What about, you know, kind of the in tight, cramped Mexican music blaring at 5 billion decibels of you just got double window pane, or people are pretty considerate? Is anybody calling?
Oh, no. Yeah. No one's considerate at all.
No, they just blare it.
So it depends on where you live, right? So this is a big part of why I chose the location that I did. I'm tucked back at the base of the mountain, and I'm 6 stories up. So it's much, much quieter where I live. So I can do my recording. I can do my interviews. I'm fine. And you can have a place. I mean, they have 30-story high rises that I can see from my living room. So you can have a place where it's high up and it's quiet. They have like gated communities that are also much quieter. But if you're just, say, living in a residential neighborhood, you're going to hear loud music every night until around 3 a.m. And, of course, no one ever calls the cops. No one ever calls the cops. We actually saw a concert in the middle of the street in one of these neighborhoods on a Saturday night. And everyone's always setting off fireworks. And so the people here really love to party and have a good time. And you have two options. You get used to it, or you move to a high rise where you don't have to hear it.
You know, the one thing that was when we go in rural areas, we're looking for land or something, they have big stretches out in the desert or whatever. And as they're taking you to look, or we, you know, Donna's a real estate agent, and so we're, you know, go and look at different things. And as we go on the way out there, you'll see that one guy, the 1 3-acre that's got all the RVs parked and it's messy, and everybody going, and they're like apologizing for it. And I go, hey man, I just see freedom, man. You know, if he gets away with that, oh man, I can party on my lot, you know. So I don't necessarily see that as a detriment. I see it as a measure of the level of tolerance of the people. Cause if there becomes, you know, a major problem, you know, too much gunfire. I mean, you know, it kind of takes care of itself. But the I'm looking forward to going down there. Is there, you know, how would people keep track of this since you're not doing as much social media, or are you? Are you looking forward to get back into it, or you're like,
I'm absolutely going to it. And actually, what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start doing a video for my radio show, because my view is so fantastic. I want people to see it. So I'm going to start doing video for the radio show every week. And I'm also going to start doing, I think, maybe like weekly updates. I've been putting a bunch of stuff on my personal Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Sussex County Angel. That'll take you right to it. And so I've got a bunch of videos and pictures. You know, my favorite thing right now to do is there's a pool in my building, and there are only 4 families that live in my building right now. Most of the people that rent this place out are from Mexico City, and they only come down like maybe 1 weekend a month. So the pool is basically a private pool. There's no one ever in it. So I like to go down to the pool and I like to watch the sunset, because from the pool I have this amazing view of the entire city, and I can watch the sunset from the city every night. And it's gorgeous. It is the most beautiful sunset. 2 nights ago, I saw literally the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen in my entire life. I wanted to take a picture, and then I realized that cameras cannot capture this kind of beauty. So I've been doing some videos to kind of share with people a little bit of what my life is like. On my personal Facebook, I posted a video of the 2 little street dogs that followed me to the store. And I've done a few videos, and I'm going to start doing more. I posted a video of, we went out to a bar called Paradise. And there's, some women dancing on platforms, and they were dancing to the YMCA, which I thought was pretty hilarious. So, I'm videotaping that. And then suddenly they have like a bungee jumping thing right next to it, right? So then suddenly someone decides to bungee jump. So we've got the bar, people partying, having a good time, and then someone bungee jumps over top of the bar. Right. And I mean, it's a typical Saturday night here. The people here, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest. And here's the other thing. I fit right in.
Here in freaking Phoenix, man, you go to South Phoenix, it's like that everywhere. It's a culture. And I always, my youngest daughter, Sierra, married into an Hispanic family, and George and Kathy, they are, they brought that party, and their whole backyard is like a professional restaurant that's set up just for doing parties. And they, every weekend's a part of family and friends. And I love this culture. It's like, I go, what's going on this weekend? Well, it's the Festival de la, we made it up. I mean, there's always something that, to celebrate. And I really enjoy, and it's a lot of family and friends and so on.
They celebrate life. I'm not, every single night someone is setting off fireworks in this city. Every night I can sit back and get a fireworks show. Now I hear that New Year's Eve is amazing with like 2 hours worth of fireworks. I can't wait to see it.
We're watching a lot of the video. I guess it was you doing the tour of the housing search.
Yeah, here. So that was me when I was searching for houses. I posted a lot of the houses on that YouTube channel so that people could see what their money could get them.
I'm glad you did that. That's really interesting. Let me see if we can. I have to turn it up. I don't care. I'd rather talk to you.
I wanted people to see that there are different choices and different options. So there are houses. I've got a friend of mine who lives in a place here that's actually really nice for $220 a month. It's right in the middle of the residential, so it's loud, so I couldn't do it.
Well,
but there are places like that everywhere here.
How many places did you go visit?
About 15, 20.
Okay.
I wanted a tub. And
no, you got the tub. I saw that blue tile freaking big window overlooking, what was her name? Anna Nicole Smith kind of thing. that was her big deal. She wouldn't have a big tub. All right. So I'm going, okay, you got what you want. So, I mean, what else are you looking for that you haven't got with this move?
To be honest, nothing. I mean, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life, Ernie.
Yeah, how much do you think that played, just the elimination of the stress played into your health and your weight loss?
Oh, a huge bit. A huge bit. And another really big part of it has been becoming active and just eating better food. Now, what we do is we have a lot of fresh fruits, and that I've found has been very, very positive for us, right? And because it's hotter here, so it's 85 degrees, you're out walking and you're like, it's awesome right now. I want some pineapple, or I want some cucumber, I want some water, because the fruit is also, it's very refreshing. So you find yourself, you don't want salty foods. If you're sweating, you don't want some McDonald's French fries because they're covered in salt. You want some pineapple or a banana or a cucumber, some watermelon. You want something that is refreshing.
And it's on your walk as sitting there in the outdoor market of it's right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, how's Dave? You know, his view on all of this is differs from you in what way?
He absolutely loves it. From what I can tell, he's been pretty happy too, really. I mean, we've met great people. We've got an amazing house. Every night we sit out and we watch the sunset in the pool, him and I, and then we come upstairs and we watch the city. And just sit and watch the city.
You know, a lot of expat. I went to Panama. I've gone to Mexico, Canada. You know, I haven't traveled to Europe or Africa or anything or Asia. But anyone that I talk to has come from other places. You know, I have some people. Was it Shenzhen? Or something, just on the mainland, just north of Hong Kong, a city. That everybody that I've talked to from America, you know, and some European people. It's the, I wake up in the morning when I feel like it. I got my, you know, one or two or three different modus operandi of how I, you know, start my day. I go to the local coffee thing or I, you know, have some friends here locally. We on whatever day they go. It's just a totally different leisure lifestyle that doesn't involve form filling out, you know. And it's just that whole concept right there of living life is, I would like work. I mean, I would like toil. I would like to be able to do kind of, but we have some friends in Ecuador that they're building their own home up there. And it's, you know, for almost nothing, they can have a really, all they had to do is get some land. And it's just year round. They're up in the mountains. So it's like 70 something degrees year round. And I'm going, wow, there's so many opportunities, especially with technology, to give us the lifestyle that we want. And I really am appreciative of you, you know, pulling the trigger and just doing this. And the people that listen to you and know you have, you know, shared time with you at different festivals and we got to hug on you and everything. You and Dave are good friends. I really appreciate you taking this leap. And how much of a leap was it? Was it a leap of faith, a leap of I just got to get the heck out of here? It was what? I mean, why would you do this?
Well, you know, Dave has been trying to get me to leave the country for 5 years. And he initially wanted Singapore, and I couldn't do Singapore. It's a bit totalitarian. The language seems quite difficult, and it's more expensive. And now I guess it's been about 10 months ago, he was watching a video with Berwick in it, and he said to me, Dave said to me, what about Acapulco? And it was like a light bulb kind of went off in my head. I looked at the pictures of the place. I looked at the videos of the place. I looked at the exchange rate of the dollar. And I realized that we could live a much better life there. And I told my family, and my family starts, well, they're like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Do what you want. My family never thought that we would actually get the tickets. They never thought that we would actually do it. It would just be some pipe dream that we would talk about. So the day that we got our tickets, and we got them using Bitcoin through cheapair.com, the day that we got our tickets, I called my mom, and my mom started kind of shaking and freaking out because she never actually thought that we would do it. You see, I read that something like 97% of Americans never live more than 100 miles away from their hometown. Yeah. And my mom is exactly like that. She's never been outside the country. So for her to imagine, you know, her little girl growing up and moving 3,000 miles away was a really big deal. But me, I never had a single moment's hesitation, I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any nervousness.
Well, you didn't even go check it out. You just went.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be better than the States because it kind of had to be.
Wow. I mean, how much of a sell is that? You know, you're going, Elon Musk, I want to die on Mars, preferably not on impact. Why? Because it can't be worse than Earth, I guess. I mean, when you got to go to Mars, man, I mean, seriously. So,
that would be pretty fantastic.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, what are some of the other issues I had on here? Yeah, it's still we haven't explored your being Miss Social Network Butterfly. And I'm wondering, you know, do you look forward to getting back into that? Or are you kind of happy to have the break or what?
Oh, no, I can't wait to get back into it. I can't. And it's, you know, what happened is they brought internet to the guy that moved in with us like 3 days ago, and they didn't bring ours. They said they didn't have the right paperwork for ours. So they hooked him up, but we're able to use his internet. He gave us the password. But of course, he's one floor up and over, so we don't have that great of a connection. Yeah. But it's enough to, you know, for me to have this call with you, but I just have to be in a specific corner of my home. So I'm now finally able to do a tiny bit. And so I can't wait to get that. I've missed, you know, talking to my friends and my fans online. But of course, also at this point, I've gotten so many emails, so many messages, so many tweets, so many people that have so many questions about moving down here. And I haven't really been able to answer them because I haven't been able to access them.
Yeah, but haven't you benefited from the break? I mean, golly.
I have, but that doesn't mean that I can't. You know, I feel like it won't take much if I spend an hour a day showing people a little bit and posting a little bit and scheduling stuff, then that means that I can spend the rest of my time enjoying this fantastic new life that I have. Plus, you saw the view in my place, right?
Yeah,
it's okay
awesome.
To work for an hour in this room where you look out and you just see such an amazing view.
I'm hip. You know, I'm familiar with the climate around there. You know, I lived in Florida till I was 12. And so I'm kind of, you know, I went back when I was 15. There's, oh, it's so humid. And everything. I go, well, it's not humid. It just rains all the time. Then I went back after being a teenager. I'm going, ew, you know, I like dry. So, but, you know, during the winter months, that would be awesome.
Oh, but it never rains in Acapulco.
Really?
It rains very rarely. I mean, we've been here for, we actually apparently came here when a hurricane was coming to hit. Oh, here's the other thing, right, about when we moved down here. Berwick sent us a message on Facebook, and he said, you might have some problems getting to the town because there are some anti-government protests going on. And I'm like, anti-government, that's great. I like anti-government. That's cool. And then he says, oh, by the way, there's supposed to be a hurricane coming in. And I'm like, oh, I love hurricanes. That's going to be perfect. It'll be a great welcome to the town. Like, I never had any doubts about this place at all.
Well, making it easier for you, I mean, did you have a place to go? Did Jeff kind of hook you up, give you a soft landing?
Yeah, he said we could stay with him for a little bit when we got there until we found a place. Because I had told him, you know, I told him how I was going to do it and what I was going to do, you know. So I told him I was going to come down here with $500 and I was going to record the places that we looked at so that people could see what it's like and they could see that they could come down here and live. And so he was very, very supportive of that. And so we stayed with him for, I think, like 10 days. And then we had another expat reach out to us and said, I'm loving watching your videos. I'm loving seeing everything. And I'm actually, I think he's in Italy. He's like, I'm in Italy right now, but I have a house in Acapulco. And so you can stay there if you want while you finish your search for your house.
Awesome. Awesome.
So we basically had all of these people reach out to help because they like to see what I was doing.
You know, you remember Ross Edwards from Don't Tread on Mimi?
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
You know, he has his own Facebook page for his hair. You know that guy? Anyway, he has... No, but I mean, he's party. But what happened was he was big into Dollar Vigilante, and there was something Jeff had about buying and renting condos there or doing something. And so he was that had to be in 11 or something or a while ago, you know, 12 at least. And what happened, he really was enraptured with Acapulco too. And so a lot of these, I got the impression that Jeff was really reaching out to the younger people, just come down and, you know, it's a joy life and you can bring your lifestyle better here. But I don't get the impression, a lot of these guys are entrepreneurs on the internet, or they got some special engineering skills, or they got, you know, something that gives them the opportunity to make the move. So you're not suggesting that someone go down there, one, to find a job, and two, if they want to open a business, how difficult is that? Is that a possibility?
Opening a business is quite possible. I would not suggest that you come down here without an alternative source of income. But opening a business is very possible. What I've found is that the people that live here, they have a mentality that is quite different than what you would expect in the States. So, for example, in the States, if you run out of a product at a store, you order more, right?
Yeah.
You go to a store and you want to buy some cookies and there's no cookies. you order more. And here, they just wait until the next delivery comes. No, it's not delivery time. We're out until delivery time. They deliver on this day. So it's like it doesn't even occur to them to put in a special order to get the product there because it's not delivery time. And
This, when you have this kind of mentality, does that open up opportunities for, you know, better stores? And the reason I ask is because as a retailer, you know, I had the restaurant and all this kind of stuff. I'm just wondering what the hurdles are to open up a store.
I think that it does give you a lot of opportunities, but here's what you have to remember.
You're in another country and you know, it's their country.
No, what you have to remember is you're going to get paid in pesos. You're not going to get paid in dollars. So if you open up a store here, that's great. And I think that there's a lot of potential, but it's going to take a while for you to start making a real income from it because you're in a country where a good paying job is $20 a day. So you're going to be obviously making less money from your products.
Yeah. So if you were given advice, you would say, yeah, come down here. You don't need a whole lot of money, but you're going to need some money coming in to live the lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely. And there are different things that you can do. You hook up a website, you pop some advertising on it. You know, we do audiobooks. That's a great way for us to make money, or advertising on the radio show. If you have an internet-based business, you know, what you have to do is you have to find a way that you can make money through the internet. And you should be doing that anyway, because the world is about to change.
Yeah.
Exponentially. Once there's a 3D printer in every home, why are people going to go to the store when they can just download the design and print it out?
Oh, you know, that's one thing. I think it was Stephanie Murphy, you, some other people. There was a guy at a party here that was promoting the opportunity, wanted me to read. But I said, I know what, I'll read Larkin Rose's Most Dangerous Superstition and put it up and sell it and won't give him any royalties. Just to, you know, you know, but the, so we're working on that. But the, you know, so this reading books, you know, I don't know. My voice is kind of, would it be something that I could do or anybody can do or what?
I guess it depends. I mean, we've got a few different people that work with us for the books at this point. So we've got some people that, that we have narrating books with us. We've got a few, I guess, on the staff at this point.
So, I mean, is it a business? There's a picture of you and Ross. Uh-huh. Is it your own franchise kind of thing? Do you
No, not at all. But I've got 22 different books that I have to narrate right now. But the thing is that the way it works is the author has to like your voice, you know.
Okay, and so you read them, it goes out, and you get a cut or you get a one-time fee. I mean, how does that work?
Either. It depends on the book. For some of them, I take royalties. For some of them, I get a one-time fee. It depends on the book. If it's a good-selling book, then I'll take royalties, obviously.
Okay. You know, one thing that I noticed in one of your videos, you were wearing your marijuana leaf green shirt. I'm going, you do that in Mexico? Do they jump you hut, and tase you and stuff?
No, they don't. They don't jump you here. Like I said, I'm a tourist. The tourists.
Yeah, but you look too Mexican. You go, hey, I'm expat. You wear a bandana that says expat or something.
I open my mouth. I mean, once I speak, it's obvious that I'm not Mexican. I'm working on the Spanish. I'm good with dialects. I am. So my accent when I speak Spanish at this point is pretty good. But so like when I tell someone in Spanish that I don't speak Spanish, they don't understand because I say it just like they do. But once I start speaking English, then they grasp it. So, yeah. But within a few months, I hope to have the language pretty much down. I'm working on it.
I took Spanish in high school, and we go to Rocky Point, and I would do some photo stuff and different things. But I picked up Spanish pretty quickly, and I had Hispanic employees and so on that helped me with that too. And when I would do politics, they'd help me write speeches in Spanish that I would read, you know, different things and so on. And one thing that I found is how much easier Spanish is than English.
Exactly.
Way more organized, way more consistent, way more, you know, all you have to do is learn the actual nouns, names of stuff and some verbs, and you're done, man. I mean, you know, it just flows pretty quickly. And that, I run into the same thing. I'm an español, es muy poquito y malo, man. You know, and badly. And they're going, yeah, I'm not sure all those are the words. But the, you know, so it would get the, and they would start, and all of a sudden, wham, you get this download, and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, I don't speak Spanish very good, you know. And but it came very quickly. We were in Mexico, Rocky Point, Puerto Peñasco, one time for 2 weeks doing an assignment. And I was a young man, and doing that, I felt that I learned probably twice as much Spanish in the 2 weeks I had learned up to that point. And I'm going, So I'm wondering, how are you learning it? Are you taking classes? Or are you?
No, I'm trying to talk to people. I mean, I took Spanish in high school, but that was, you know, at this point, almost 15 years ago. And I didn't really pay too much attention. I kind of cheated on the tests and eked past. So I never really learned anything. But being here, they say the best way to learn a language is to immerse yourself in it. And I figured, well, let's just do that. Now, Dave, before we left, Dave said he spoke Spanish fluently. But it turns out he spoke Guatemalan Spanish, which apparently is different. So he's working on learning the Mexican Spanish, too.
Well, how different is that?
I don't think it's that different, but that's what he says.
Okay.
I can't understand them. They're talking too fast. It's a different dialect. But then again, if you look in the U.S., if you look at a New York accent compared to a Deep South accent, it's quite different.
Yeah. No, I'm, you know, you get somebody from Louisiana doing that Cajun thing, man, never mind, you know. So so I get it. You know, is there anything that you want to get other than your Sussex County Angel, right? Is that it?
Yeah, facebook.com/Sussex County Angel is my personal Facebook page.
Well, aren't you going to create another persona or another page or another I'm in Acapulco page or something?
No, I'm going to just pop it all on the Angel Clark Show fan page. That's where it's all. I'm going to use my personal page and the ACS page and just roll with it for those places.
Yeah, but I don't need Sussex County. Screw Sussex County, you know. So
when I set up that, I don't. They said you could only change the domain on your Facebook once. So unless they change that policy, I don't know. It's been ages.
You know, screw Facebook. I can't believe you're still dealing with all this crap. Are you waiting for the next social? I mean, I heard this, you know, I really got a big press, but a lot of people on this Elo thing. What do you know about that?
I know that I want in, but I can't get in yet. So I know that once it's out, I'll be on it. I mean, right now they're in beta. So.
Yeah, I got a beta invitation, and I don't care.
If you're not going to use it, Ernie, you send me that invitation.
All right. I'll see if I can find it again. I keep getting it. You know, I can see they need somebody exactly like you is what they want. They don't want me. They want you. I guarantee it. Because, you know, you'll make use of it. But I'm looking for, I can see all of the privacy concerns and all of the, you can't shut it down and my photos and video don't all belong to you and all that. You know, so I'm waiting for the distributed internet thing, the made safe storage, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we're setting up the site. Derek out of Maine, Slopey we just finished a bunch of database reformatting, all kinds of crap that we're doing on the site, because it's been since like June that we really made a full court press on changing the back end on Freedom's Phoenix to where we just eliminated a lot of the tables, the display of the front page, you know, a lot of the back end stuff. Then we'll get some cosmetic changes, some features, and open it up to everybody. But the reason was, you know, I made the decision to invest, you know, the gazillions of dollars into getting all this stuff done for the next type of internet I believe is coming. This distributed kind of, I don't give a crap, it's not on anyone's server, they don't get to have, privacy thing. And I'm just because. And then, oh, I got to tell you this. I just had a Bitcoin guy on, so on, and his kind of more from the merchant angle, his service. But we were in at Libertopia, and I met a guy named Paul Pway from Airbits, and it's Air, AIRBITZ. And Bitcoin.bombs hooked me up with him, and I had him on for a couple hours. You should listen to the show, and you'll see why. But it's just the last week or so, you look on my archive and Declare Your Independence, and you'll see Paul Pway. And if you listen to that edited show, you'll go, holy crap. And the reason that Drew and Davi and those kind of, especially Drew, he came to a meetup in San Francisco to pimp their wallet, and it's all my screaming about grandma adjust buttons, and they did it. Every transaction, it gives you a new address in your wallet. Every spending, every receiving, all the security is there, the anonymity. You have, they hold nothing on their servers. It's all encrypted. It's all done on your phone. You even get encrypted packets to where if you lose your phone or whatever, it can totally repopulate a new phone from, you know, doubling encrypted password of whatever held on, nobody can see whatever stuff and redo it and it's not lost. You have, you know, I mean, even your accountant.
So they did everything that you wanted done.
So far. And it was scary. I go like this. I'm going, you know, I spent hours with them, you know, at the event and then had them on. And the first hour, I just go, no, I want to know who you are. You know, I want your DNA, man, because I, you know, what you did, we'll talk about that later. I just want to know if I can trust you, you know. So the it was bootstrapped by themselves, one silent investor, which is, you know, the NSA, who cares? But anyway, you know, they have one, them, and then two of these other guys. And I went through all the issues that I've been screaming about, you know, me and Bitcoin. And I'm going, where's my grandma adjust button? They had an answer for everything, and it rolled out with this. And I'm going, holy crap. So this is the first time that I ever installed a Bitcoin wallet on Donna's phone.
Oh, wow.
That's how far. I've been covering this from the beginning in, what, 9-10? I mean, from the beginning. I've been having all these, you know, all the guys, you know, come on and stuff. And
I know.
And I'm just going, you know, and one, it wasn't as anonymous as they made out, you know. And then as time went on, I'm looking at what, I go, well, then why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it was guys like Christoph Atlas did Anonymous Bitcoin. And it finally, I'm going, well, you know, he goes, well, you just this and you just that. And I'm going, show me what the your just thing is. And, of course, it's 47 keystrokes, you know. So I'm going, no, that's not a just button. You know, when you say, I pushed a button, it just does whatever the hell you're talking about, or you're not coding it right. I mean, why are you making me? And a lot of these guys have this elite mentality that it is hard. They like it hard. Only they can do it. They can be secure. You're not. It sucks to be you, Grandpa. And I'm going, so where's your wide adoption coming from? Oh, well, the government's going to give us permission slip, and then there'll be wide adoption. And I'm going, oh, yeah, that'll work, you know. So these guys, they went at it from a totally different perspective. He's 38 years old, Silicon Valley, had skills, and came across Bitcoin a year and a half ago. And he goes, this is the hardest thing ever. It doesn't have the security, blah, 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 from a more mature R view. And he goes, well, I could do this. So he did it. And he goes, there, I did it. You didn't do this? Why? And I asked him, I go, what was the reason? Was there a technical hurdle? Was there something waiting? Or they just didn't see the need or the market for it? And it was kind of maybe a little bit of both. The multi-sig thing, you know, is coming on that, you know, has some more features that they were waiting on. But mostly it was just they didn't see the need. I mean, they didn't understand, they didn't care. And I'm going, he freaking wins. It's called AirBitz, AIRBITZ.co or whatever the hell it is. You know, whatever it is. But there you go, AirBitz. You do that, you take a look at it. You should listen to the show. I mean, because we went over everything. You would be amazed. Every feature, you go, wow, and they do that. Wow, and they do wow, and they do that. And that, I'm going, wow. So I wanted to do 2 hours, and it's finally getting to the point to where I gave it to Donna's phone. That's how far it went.
Well, it sounds pretty fantastic.
Just take a look, because I really, before I go endorsing or super pimping it, I would like, you know, you to, you know, give me an evaluation, a look at it, you know, so I can blame you, you know. Oh, Angel said it. They don't blame me. Angel said it was okay. But go listen to the show. Go take a look at it. And you'll see that I'm starting to feel a lot more comfortable about Bitcoin as the disruptive technology that it was promised to be.
Yes, exactly. And all it's, and here's the other thing too, is that I think it's important to make Bitcoin something that, you know, like my mom is not tech savvy at all. Make Bitcoin something my mom can use.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, you know, it's when I'm thinking the grandma adjust button, you know, of course I'm thinking Adonna. You know what I mean? How much does she have to go through? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
if it's two clicks of a button, that's perfect.
Well, it's also you need to have the security in it because, see, I said at Coins in the Kingdom in Orlando, Will Pangman was very patient with me. He spent a couple of hours. And he went with Richard Grove in our funding center on Freedom's Phoenix there. We did a thing for, I said, he's very critical of Bitcoin, a tragedy and hope guy. And I go, a lot of these guys in the Bitcoin community love him, listen to him all the time and everything, but he just doesn't get Bitcoin. I'll go, all right. So Will and him did like 5 hours. I edited down about an hour and 15 minutes of him setting up his double authentication of his super, you know, safe, secure wallet if they didn't rip you off. And so I said, you don't want him to have a bad experience. So they went through this to set this up. All the stuff that he did in 2 hours, he's going to Orlando and setting up my, you know, Authy this, my LastPass that, blah, 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 blah. None of that's necessary anymore when you're doing this one wallet, I think. You know, I mean, of course, for your other stuff. But I'm going, wow, it changes. Okay, somebody gives me $100 in Bitcoin. It goes to an address. I spend $50 of that Bitcoin. I got $50 left over. It comes back in a new address. So you never use the same address once.
That's perfect.
Sending or receiving. And it's done automatically, encrypted on your phone, not their servers.
That's now. Is it tied to like a name or something? Like how do the people do? You, or just each time
password.
You send people the new address information?
There is. I'll give you an example of how it works. I go in and I can send you something now. This is. Well, I'd have to have a QR code. Anyway, it goes like this. I go and I say I'm doing. Ooh, I can do it to an email. Okay, I'm going to trip you out, man. You're going to go, what the hell is that? Because you go into the wallet and you send an invoice. You know, I mean, it's right. It's like your accountant can go into your account and see it. You give him access to the transactions. And just say you're a celebrity or you're a boxer or an entertainer, and it's always the power of attorney of the accountant, and he's got your money in the Caymans now. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you do is as you're using your Bitcoin, you put in some, you know, information and it's all encrypted. You go, yeah, I bought a whatever with this. I did this and whatever and done. Well, your accountant can see all that and they categorize, do your taxes if you wanted to. And they do all your accounting and kind of see what's going, but they can't have access to the money. They just have access to the, the CVS or CSV file or something that goes in. You can put it into Excel and you do all your spend. It's QuickBooks for Bitcoin without any access to actually spending the money. So I'm just going, wow, that is an awesome feature. All right. So I go in, I click it, and I go, let's see, I want to send, and I got to do my, you know, big ass password. And what it does is it sends you an email with the whatever it is that I requested in payment. And then you just click on you send it and create. So if you don't send anything, I put the notes in here on what it is and why, and, you know, because I'm a donation or something. And I send that to you and you go, okay, I respond to it a year later. And since it was only that wallet and it was already tagged in my thing for that, you know, you know, then I'm looking at, okay, send to, okay, go ahead and give me your email.
Sussex County Angel at live.com.
Sussex, Sussex County Angel?
Angel, yep.
Angel at what?
Live, L-I-V-E.
L-I-V-E.com.
Okay. Now, Dave uses this one thing, some kind of vault thing. So, like, he's got a Bitcoin business that he's working on with some friends, and so the money gets put into one account. And in order for people to take the money out of that account, you need to have three people there. Like, so you have to have confirmation from three different people, the three, I guess, account holders.
Yeah, also, you could do it offline. You know, between phones and so on. And you can do it, you know, Bluetooth. You can do it, you know, okay, wait a minute. I did a send and I wanted to do a receive. So I go Angel. Okay, you're not in there. Okay, Sussex. Yeah, I was in the wrong. I was sending instead of receiving. Sussex County. Give me a second. Angel at live.com. Okay, now can you receive email now?
Let me. I'll be able to in a second.
Okay. Well, go ahead and try it. I'll do this. Okay, compose and boom. Okay, I think I sent it. All right. Now, so imagine this. I send an email that has the QR code for you to make like an invoice that I do. I go, okay, I need a dollar. So I send it to you. That QR code is unique to that address, to that transaction that goes into my main wallet, but at a different address every time I make one of these requests, and it goes into my wallet.
Yeah, okay, so Arabits, Bitcoin request, amount, the address, please scan QR code or click the links below to pay.
And it keeps all that information, and whatever I add to it when it comes in, I can put what it's for, why, how much, blah, 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 and you know where, and then what I want it to, where I want it to go and what to do, and then access, you could have multi-sig. I think this is something they're doing in Q.
Oh, Donna sent me the interview. Please tell her thank you. With Paul Puey.
Oh, okay, good, thank you. The so this is, you know, I see this with the features that it has as something perfect for you and what you do. I really think the video, if you do the video or you can just do the audio, you'll get from it from the interview that I did, you'll see how powerful this is. But it's also when I send, you know, somebody sends something to me, it can come into email. It has all this data. It's like mixing Bitcoin with PayPal and QuickBooks.
Yeah, it sounds perfect.
So much so that it was scary. I'm going, beware of strangers bearing perfect gifts. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, too good to be true.
So that's, you know, the only concern that I have is that it was so. What they did is they released their Arabits was a directory, because when you download it, it also, when the open screen, it has, you know, it accesses your location, you know, and your GPS stuff, which kind of, I go, why the hell would you want that? Well, when it does it, it gives you all the places that accept Bitcoin in a distance, you know, from the closest down. And then you put restaurants.
That's cool.
It's like it absorbed Yelp and a bunch of these other Bitcoin lists. So it's an updated list of all the people that take Bitcoin around you.
That's really awesome.
You know, so this is, you know, I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm promoting this yet, but I mean, of all the things that I've been screaming for years on this, and then all of a sudden, well, we did that. And I go, why did you do that? Because we knew it needed to be done. We were older, not these kids, and they were morons, and you move over, and we did it, and here we are. And I go, I like you guys. That's good, you know? So, and they set up merchants. And matter of fact, when do we have the Taco City guy, Donna? Yeah, there's a guy that, you know, is near where their offices are that's from Mexico, and he has a taco place in San Diego at Libertopia. We all went there. Everybody go there. So, of course, it's lines out the, you know, freaking thing. You know, and he did Bitcoin because he was from Mexico. And he goes, well, it's kind of volatile. He goes, volatile. I'll show you volatile. I'm from Mexico. I know volatile, man. Don't even talk to me about it.
Right.
So the reason that he wanted to take Bitcoin was for all the hyperinflation reasons. He understood Bitcoin from that perspective and the way it's used at, you know. So I'm going, very cool. I'm seeing all the beginning signs of it just exploding everywhere. And this Dominica thing, this bit drop, you know, you should look that up, the bit drop. It's a coin of Paul Voorhees thing. And Sarah Blenko was the one I had on the show. If you looked up Sarah Blenko, you listen to the show. And that's definitely something I'm sure you'd want to talk to somebody about. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, send her the Sarah Blenko story too, along with her contact information. I know she'd want to talk to Angel. But, you know, so this is, it's gone international. And the fact that we have Angel in Mexico and Acapulco helping us out here is awesome. Ad, thank you. Let's see. Anything else we need to go over?
You know, I'll tell you something. I'm really looking forward to all of you coming down here. I mean, Anarchapulco, I think, is just going to be fantastic because you'll all get to see it for yourselves. I mean, this place is It's amazing, really. I absolutely love it here.
So is the water clear or not? I mean,
yes, the water is clear until it gets, you know, so and so thick. So it's clear for the first first part of it. It's also warm. And I mean, it's, and they do have some scuba diving here, and they also have, like, they've got these like little islands as well. And so they have like cliff diving off the little islands and stuff.
Yeah.
And scuba diving off of those. Yeah, I want to go cliff diving.
I want to go watch you go cliff diving. The you know, that's one thing that that's right, the Acapulco cliff divers. I'd be a tourist for that one. That would be awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, there is a bunch of stuff to do here, and I think you guys are really going to have a good time.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward. Well, I think the thing that really kind of gave me more enthusiasm for it was the comment that Jeff made. He just said, "Look, you just need to get out of the U.S. just to, you know, experience not." I mean, you know, so
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to that. I enjoyed our time in Panama, but it was during their 5-year election. And it was, you know what the big issue was? This is good. Their immigration thing. Damn, Colombian women are too good looking. We got to keep them out. You know, our women are marrying all the Colombian women. No! Or was it Guatemalan? Yeah, I think it was Colombian. You know, Colombian women are too pretty. And I go, wow, what a stereotype to have. You know, they don't want us because we're too pretty. You know, I'm just going, I definitely, you know, it's not an ugly American. It's too good-looking Colombians. I mean, you know, I'm going, okay, I'd want that on my resume. All right. Hey, thanks for coming on and spending time. Is there any other sites or anything you want to say real quick before we go?
No, not really. I mean, you can go to radiofreedom.us. That's my website. We haven't really been posting news on it yet, but we've been putting videos on there, and you can find some of my audiobooks on there.
You know,
well,
I appreciate, you know, all the information that you give and everything. I wouldn't wish on you getting sucked back into the social media crap on, you know.
I'm gonna limit the amount of time that I spend doing it. That's what it's going to be. Because my life here is so, I'm just going to say, it's amazing. So I don't want to spend, you know, in the States, I was miserable. I was 50 pounds heavier. I never went outside because I was terrified of the government and the cops, you know. So in the States, I was okay spending 10 hours a day at the computer screen. Well, here, I have friends. I want to go out and explore the city. I like to spend, you know, some time outside every day. So I'm not going to get sucked back into it to the extent where
Please.
6 hours a day, you know, an hour a day tops.
Yeah, excellent. You know, yeah, more frequent, kind of give me some, you know, high quality good, you know, but the much time as you spend on that, I'm like, wow, that can't be
healthy.
But
here's the other thing, too, is that if I hadn't done that base work, I wouldn't have been able to come here and live the life that I am.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm hip. Well, you invested and you scored right on. You know,
exactly,
so your revenue stream is from internet what?
From advertising on my websites and from my audiobooks.
Yeah,
but
I think
because I have such a large social media reach, I get more audiobooks than someone who doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. You win. All right. Well, I'm glad that it's going well for you. Say hey to Dave for me. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going down just to hug on you.
Oh, I can't wait until you guys are down here. It's going to be great. But yeah, we'll schedule something for coming on the show before you come for Anarchapulco. And by then, I absolutely should have internet so that I can do like a video and you can just see the background view that I get all the time.
Yeah, no, I saw it from your thing. That's awesome. You know, and we did Jeff's Anarchast thing, you know, and so I'm kind of pimping that, and I've had him on. I'd look forward to having, you know, maybe him on again once before we go, and of course yourself. So, you know, we'll go ahead and schedule. Donna will take care of that. Thanks for spending so much extra time. I'm glad we got
Always,
to catch up.
Ernie, I this is the only time we ever get to chat these days.
I know. A lot of times there's a lot of people I like to talk. Are you just come on the show? Do we got to do it on the show? I go, well, everybody should benefit from what I want to find out from you anyway.
Right?
I mean, you're like Glenn Jacobs, you know, I love talking to him. He's so, you know, but he just prefer us just chat instead of doing the show all the time. But it's just, you know, because he travels so much, and it's just a really interesting around the world to get his perspective from a libertarian. You know Glenn Jacobs, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm just going, you know, that's a really interesting interview every time. But just, you know, a lot of times you'd just rather not be recorded. But I'm glad you obviously don't mind. You know,
no, not at all.
Well,
not
thanks,
at all.
Thanks for spending time with us, Angel. It was a pleasure getting to get caught up. I'm glad things are going well for you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure chatting with you, too. And I will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye, Angel. Love you.
Bye. You too. Bye.